Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you fucking savages? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm Raging Gumby.
And I'm Kristen Gregson of the band, finally back together tonight on Heavy Meta. We're going to talk all about the battle for Zendikar, spoilers, full art lands, what's going to happen at your pre-release. We're going to talk about the next set past that, because PAX is so fucking jam-packed full of information. What the fuck is Oath of the Gatewatch? We'll talk a little bit about the World Championships, because fuck the guys that get to play in that, they're not us. We'll talk a little bit about local magic, because I've got to grind those goddamn PPTQs again, and someone's got to tell you how shitty it is out there to do it. And lastly, we'll of course give all the love to Proxy Guy, because he started on a gigantic project that's going to save me thousands of dollars. How does it impact you? Let's find out eventually in the show. But back to the top. It's so nice to finally have the band back together. How's it going, boys?
It is awesome, as always. I think we're doing good tonight.
I finally got my testicles out of the vise, so.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I told you, lefty loosey, righty tighty.
Those people in Thailand, they're ruthless.
Click, click.
Okay, you do so much.
You know, okay, first off, out of the gates, I have to say, I think I've been a bit of a salty fucking curmudgeoned. For a while, right? And I don't know, maybe it was my certain parts of magic just weren't doing it for me. But you know what, folks? I have found that seed, that little spark of passion that has bloomed.
Oh, did you get the envelope I sent you? You got the seed?
I did not. I have learned that you just burn. Instantly just burn anything that comes from the crest.
Any mail.
If I see any mail coming from the crest, I just throw that right in the incinerator. Full art lands. Oh, my God. There is nothing that gets me jonesed than full art lands. I must say, I'm sorry, Will Wheaton, but I really dislike you. And not as a person. I'm sure you're fine and your mental illnesses are, you know, justified. And, you know, I don't want to go down that route, but you were horrible as a presenter for PAX. Like, I just didn't understand that. I get where Wizards was going. That was really the only downside or negative that I saw all weekend. It just was so awkward, and, you know, I guess...
I knew he was at PAX. He said something about a spoiler card. I didn't realize, like, he was a presenter and shit. So I thought you just went from full art lands to, God damn it, I hate Will Wheaton. Just fucking zero to 60.
I liked that no segue, too. I really liked the fact that Maddie's like, you know what I love? Full art lands. You know what I hate? Will Wheaton.
To sum up... In a Venn diagram, that's what the weekend was. That was it. It was, I didn't really like the Will Wheaton part, but full art lands, oh my God.
Loved the lands, hated Will Wheaton, and that little part in the middle is like, well, Will Wheaton's talking about magic, so I...
That is literally how I watched that entire presentation. But, not only do we get full art lands, which they're beautiful, they're knocking them out of the park. I have really nothing bad to say. They look fantastic. We got a bunch of spoilers.
I'm still in the camp that they could have gone with another frame to give us, like, you know, the next frame of full art lands. But I also completely agree that while they're doing, basically returning to Zendikar, they use a Zendikar frame. So I can't bitch about that.
You know what? I think for this set, this is what you had to do. I think it's really cool because, you know, I would like my old Zendikar lands to match the new ones. I think that worked really well. The big surprise, because really most of the actual card spoilers were meh. I mean, Ulamog is interesting. We'll get to talking about those later. But off the top, because I think the biggest thing that I didn't see coming, a lot of people before this were talking, well, you know.
The next one, this shows.
Yeah, like, you know, we had Hidden Treasures, and I was thinking, you know, would they do something like that again? And I honestly was, thought, well, I think that's a one-trick pony. They don't want to do it again. It was a special thing. And when Marrow dropped the bomb that we're getting full art foil, super mythic rare, whatever new, I don't even know what the fuck they're calling them.
I wouldn't call those full art.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. This is the only gripe I have about it is I really don't like how they've handled the card frame. If you follow Proxy Guy, which you should, just go follow what he's doing. And I wish Wizards would just go look what he's doing because he's so fucking good. He should just work there. He's making right. that look great because my argument is these are for premium, super rich players who don't need to read cards and have, you know, textless crypto commands memorized. So, just full art, didn't need any text on it. That's what I would have done personally. I think those would be way better. But even though they're cool, I think the one thing though that a lot of people are kind of miss or overlooking or just getting caught up in all this stuff, because this announcement was like a billion things all packed in one. There's 45 of these fucking expeditions over two sets. Wow, dude, yeah, we're getting all the shock lands, all the fetch lands. And, well, the Tango slow lands, we'll get into
don't
that.
Don't call them Tango lands, that's really going to piss me off at that stage.
We'll get to that, we'll get to the name calling later. But what do you guys think of, like, premium, mythic, whatever the fuck, super mythic you want to call these things? MTG Finance community seems to be like, that's where the money is, and oh my god, they're all talking, salivating about how much money they're going to make off them.
I wasn't super jazzed on the idea. Kind of from the beginning, I felt like...
Really?
I don't know.
You're like the cube pimp master. I would have thought they're
not quite full heart lands.
I agree. They are not the prettiest representation of how you could have done it. I agree. But what do you think of the idea? Like, okay, one out of... What is it? One out of 25 foil mythic chances?
No. It's less than the chance of a foil mythic. So the math on a foil mythic is what, like 1 in 288 packs, I think is what it is, and this is supposed to be 1 in 216, which is effectively 1 per booster box. Sorry, 1 per case.
1 per case, yeah.
Which, I mean, let's be honest, that's the average player probably is not even gonna see.
Nah.
Right? It depends on your definition of average player.
Okay, my definition of the average player is somebody who plays FNM maybe twice a week.
FNM twice a week?
Yeah, I don't think the average player goes and buys a case of Battle for Zendikar. I think most players maybe will buy a case. Or not a case, like
I feel
box.
Like the guy that's playing FNM twice a week is probably fucking playing a lot of Magic. Because
yeah,
that's
a lot of FNM a week. Twice as much FNM as I go to.
All right. Well, you know,
if it helps, Maddie, I didn't catch it. So.
I didn't either.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You fuckers.
One per case is very. It reminds me a lot of the Decipher Star Wars CCG promo rate. They used to do sets where every so many sets they would do a reflection set, and the reflection set was all reprints and it had foils, and they'd do foils, super ultra mythic stuff, and it would be kind of in that vein. So with that in mind, I think that the I think it's an interesting collectible idea, but it really kind of goes against a lot of what Magic the Gathering is supposed to be, which is not that kind of chase rare mentality. I mean, right now we're in a safe space because it's supposedly only foils, and the frequency which you see them is pretty low. But I think this is definitely going to herald the dawning of a new rarity type somewhere out
there. Nah. Here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. We have a split player base of people who've been in the game a while, and they're in their 30s, they have relatively good incomes, they have large disposable amounts of money to spend on Magic. And then you have the young player base that's getting into the game for the first time. Don't you think that they've done this perfectly, that, hey, we're going to put these things in that the people who can't afford them will, and then it's going to drop the price on basically entire standard, you know, by 25% of what a normal set would be, and then now it's cheaper for all the new players to play. I think it's a really interesting approach to doing it, and
I like it.
How awesome is it that this is an interesting way legally to get around the reserve list? What if? I'm just saying, I'm going to throw a stupid idea because
it still doesn't get around the reserve list.
Yes, it does, because it's foil. Okay, listen, dude, I'm telling you, what if we got foil original dual lands in the next set? Is that
riot? There would be riots.
Why? New art, new frame. All the people are gonna say, "Hey, original art's better." So why are they gonna bitch? And they're gonna be ultra mythic rare. Like, how
they're
is
gonna
that?
Bitch because they're magic players. You know how that goes.
I think that would be the ultimate fucking. No, not even a chance.
It's not gonna happen.
One in a million. No. You want to put that on the Vegas betting line?
So you're telling me there's a chance?
So you're telling me there's a chance?
We're already glossing over the point of this. I mean, the point of this is it's slowly getting more cards into, let's say, the modern environment. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
And even then, I don't think it's doing a spectacular job at that. This is definitely a collector's item. If they weren't full art and if they weren't foil, it would be more. I would feel like they were, you know, kind of doing what they were doing before with, you know, like Dragon's Maze or all those sets where they found new ways to put Shocklands in packs. That was what I was kind of hoping for from something like this. But I don't think there's going to be enough of it for it really to stand out.
I definitely agree.
They're so ugly too. Like, I don't care for them. I think it's part of the problem.
They actually aren't as attractive as. I mean, they've grown on me. My first reaction was, oh, fuck, why did they ruin a chance at having an actual textless full art frame, which we've all drooled over Proxy Guy's renditions of. But now I'm kind of like, that's kind of cool.
That doesn't even bother me. And I get why they did it, but, like, that part doesn't even bother me. The border, like, the weird little Aztec fucking border. Like, I think that's the only thing that really bothers me. I like the versions of the Steam Vents and the Arid Mesa that we've seen. I like the way they look. They are definitely different than what's there before, but I think that if they wouldn't stand out as much and look so wonky if they just didn't have that border.
I agree. And, now, have you seen the original art? Because they posted the high res of Steam Vents and Arid Mesa. It's gorgeous! Why they didn't just put that? That's it. Just there you go, man. Don't fucking clutter it up with all your shit. Just clean. Oh, that would have
Even at that, just like they do the, what is it, like the game day promos where, like, mm-hmm. all you really would have to do is take away
frame.
The transparent frame. Like, just do something like that. Throw the text on there because, again, you're going to have kids that fucking open these up. You know, if it was just completely fucking full art, and all it looked like was just a different fucking color and just, you know, said something different, you're gonna have kids that fucking open them up and get fucking just hounded by it. Like, they're either gonna leave them at the fucking, they're like, oh, I don't need these lands. Lands aren't that big of a deal.
Come on. Like, nobody, okay, I got, or, this is a myth. That's a myth. Yeah. People aren't that stupid.
Kids are dumb as shit, man.
Well, then fuck it. Someone gets
a if there's no text on it, then fucking, you know, or you're going to have fucking some random dude that, you know, shitbag come up to him and be like, oh, man, here, I'll trade you this planeswalker for that land.
I think that's going to happen regardless. That is going to be a thing. I've already talked to a few store owners, but people that, go to certain stores. And, you know, a lot of us are like, watch out, man. You're at a pre-release. Watch out for those new kids because you know. There's going to be sharks that are going to pull that shit. You know it.
Okay.
Right?
I agree. And I don't know. I think that they still, like, all together, I think it's a good idea. It's not going to inject enough of them into the market to, like, it's not a fucking, oh, we're going to reprint the old fetches. And actually, this is the biggest thing that kind of bums me out, is we got the Onslaught fetches, like, actually reprinted. You know, like, an actual full reprint of the fucking Onslaught fetches. Now, this tells me there's absolutely no way that they are reprinting, like, you know, in mass, the Zendikar fetches anytime soon. So they're still going to stay at a huge premium. So what we've been wanting this whole fucking time is like, oh man, hopefully they reprint the fetches here. They're not going to. That sucks. Maybe they'll come out in another set down the road. It would make sense for them to do it in fucking the Return to Zendikar, but they're not going to. Okay, fine. So maybe they'll be in a Commander set, or maybe they'll be in something else down the road, like a full, like, reprint of them. But what this is them saying, like, here, we're going to reprint them in a foil mythic version that you can get one in every 216 packs. So it's going to be, these ones are obviously going to be a lot more expensive than the original Zendikar fetches, because these are going to be at more of a premium. There's going to be less of them out there. So, and they're not going to be like, oh yeah, well, we gave you all these expedition lands and we reprinted the Zendikar fetches
they're not.
And then turn around and reprint them again later. So it basically tells me that all of your Zendikar fetches are still going to stay fucking expensive.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's true.
It's not going to affect the price positively in that fashion. I think that this is another negative sign of them having a chance to be in the commander decks, which I wanted. I don't know about anybody
else.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Is that it's not just that, like, these ones obviously aren't going to bring the price down because they're so rare. The fact is, like, they're not going to print these again, like you're saying. They're not going to print these again.
Not for at least 3 years, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, who knows, man? Maybe they... it was interesting that there's no... reading the Hasbro kind of, like, outlook of 18 months, there's no Transformer movie, there's no large Hasbro IPO till 2017. So, Magic, like, is being leaned on. Now, you know, Hasbro doesn't put their fingers in Wizards of the Coast businesses, but Magic is growing, and they really, really need to hit a home run. So, Treasures or Expeditions, whatever it is, that feels like to me, like, you know, it's probably mentioned in a boardroom meeting or something, like, this set needs to fucking outsell cons. And, you know,
oh yeah, and it's going to anyway. Like literally,
putting,
just
yeah, but they didn't put fetches in
full
it.
Art lands.
Yeah, but
no,
that's
but
the thing. Like
full art lands in it did it for.
Oh well, yeah, I don't know. I think that they probably have reasons why they, you know, they want to keep the fetches for another set to sell that set in big money. So, you know, they didn't do it in Zendikar, and so Expeditions, that's your juice, right?
You can already see an impact. Over the weekend, the pre-sale price on boxes have gone up $10 across the internet.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's going to come down. Like, just for everybody out there, don't... I mean, I know it's awesome, and I know even I'm tempted to get... I want to get it on day one, but... Dude, you're gonna pay a premium. Oh my god, this shit's gonna be everywhere.
Well, if you know, people are already afraid. If you remember from the Hidden Treasures, and some of the audience doesn't, so we'll go over the whole thing.
Didn't Meryl already say this on his blog that it is the expeditions are in the entire run. It's not just first printing.
Okay. So if that's the case, people can feel slightly better, sure. But, yeah, people are, you know, interested in getting the biggest price they can right now. Not to mention that if you're the first guy to open the play set of the foil lands, yours are going to sell for a premium over once they've all hit the market, just like anything else.
God, you might... place it. I've heard, what is it? The price for a one, what is it? Is it a one of? I think it's a one of each one is $12,000.
What?
Or is it a place?
How do those prices add up?
Because they're saying that, you know, what is it? Scalding Tarn is going to be like $5 to $7.50, right there. Like that's what people are saying. They're saying the shitty lands are going to be $200 for premium blue fetches, like 500 and up. That's insane, dude. That is nuts. I don't know.
I don't think it'll be that big.
You know what's funny though? Everybody who says that is like, but what if I put an auction up? Someone buys it. Then, you know, finance guys, they're all going to be like, oh, that's the market. The market is spoken. Who knows, man? I think these things are going to be absurdly ultra expensive. For, like, the first month or two, forget it. They are going to be that much. I wouldn't even be shocked if I saw Blue Fetch Land Expedition fucking at 500 plus. Wouldn't even be shocked. And it'll sell. It'll fucking sell. You know it will, guys. Come on. You know it's going to sell.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to... They'll pop up a bit more.
You know
what's
not going to sell? Marsh Flats. I bet the Marsh Flats you'll be able to get for $120, right? Like, the shitty ones? Sure. No problem.
Well, and you got to look at that, too. And I can say that, because, like, haven't they pretty much said... Like, because you're getting, like, the... How pissed are you going to get when you open up one of these fucking expedition lands?
And you get the slow land.
And it, you get... Yeah, no, you get a fucking prairie stream. Like, oh, dude, I'm going to stab somebody.
I know, because I'm like, I just don't want this. Like, it's ugly. I don't even fucking want it. You see, I don't know. Maybe, who knows, man? I think these things.
It's tricky.
I think it's a great marketing gimmick. I don't really see this, like you said.
It's selling booster boxes for sure. There's no question.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's even more important, like, for me, I haven't bought.
I think I'm just going to go buy a couple fucking fat packs, to be honest.
I was just going to say, okay, dude, I haven't bought a fat pack since original Zendikar. That's the only time in my Magic buying history I've ever bought a fat pack.
I only bought it because
of Fuller Lands.
The last time I bought one was fucking Dark Ascension because I just got into Magic. Like,
there you go. Yeah, no, I'm actually gonna try and get a couple of fat packs just because
the land packs in them.
I'm like, I might wanna do some editing with the cube, man. That'd be a quick way to get a whole bunch of lands.
And I want to like, I want to bring this out. I didn't go too deep on this, but I saw a tweet by Arthur Halavis that was talking about. It's like it, I think it was like Star City Games price on the or pre-sale price on the lands is what 50 cents a piece. Something like that.
Yep.
Or like 48, 49 cents a piece on the basic lands.
Yep.
From this set. And then if you look at like the value of that compared to like the value of one of these fucking expedition lands, your value is not in the fucking expedition lands. It's in the fucking,
oh, yeah.
Like if that price, you know, stays anywhere near that, like your value is in the basic lands in the set as opposed to these crazy expedition lands.
Yep. I remember on eBay, I had bought when Zendikar was just at its like height and it was going crazy, I remember I bought for $10 a piece, 100 full art lands, like just random. Yeah, I bought like 3 or 4 of those auctions. It was just guys like, yeah, I've got like 1,000 of these, and they were just blowing them out. So I mean, be patient. I know you want them for your standard decks and shit, so I guess you pay a premium, right? I mean, and even if you pay 50 cents, is that bad? I don't know.
Well, that's not too bad. You're not even paying $5 at this point, like. Everybody that wants these for their fucking basics and shit now, like, at this point, like, literally the fucking, your regular basics that we normally get are probably good, because, like, so many people are gonna be running these things, it's all of a sudden gonna become the cool thing to do to stop running full art lands and start running, like, I don't know, matching fucking regular basics.
Don't do that. Because whoever does that, don't.
No, because you know, at this point, I mean, Jesus Christ, like, this set's coming out, and all these are going to be fucking full art lands. Not only do, you know, people have them in their cubes and shit like that already from the original Zendikar, now, with them coming out, and, like, this, especially, like, with the Fab Packs, your land pack is going to be full art lands. With fucking every fucking booster pack you open, you're going to have these fucking lands everywhere. And this, obviously, is going to be a set that's going to be opened a fuck ton, because Magic keeps growing, so this isn't even, you know, like, Innistrad, this is fucking, you know, or fucking original Zendikar, like, things keep growing. Now we're at the point where, shit, man, these lands are going to be all over the place, and I think people are going to be like, oh, all right, I'm really, watch, in fucking 2-3 months, people are going to be so sick of seeing Zendikar lands, they're either going to fucking drive up the price of Unglued and Unhinged lands,
actually.
Or they're going to, like, basics, like, random basics are going to go
up. Okay, so, tip, if I could go back in time, I would not. Yeah, I don't want to go back to that episode, okay, guys? But I'm like, if I could go back in time and I wasn't transported mystically into my parents' bedroom, I would 100%, when I bought the Zendikar Full Art Lands, when I got back in, the first thing I did was be like, what are those gorgeous lands? Oh, they're Unhinged lands. I'm like, well, how much are they? And I think they were like $3 a piece or something. And I was like, I would never buy those. That's absurd. I'm just going to buy
basically.
Yeah, I was like, that's crazy. And now those are like, what, 10, 15 bucks a piece or something? Like, so, yeah, I can 100% agree those are going to go up. Because they're never getting reprinted, and there's so few out there. So, good call, man. Good call.
I'm telling you.
I know.
They're going to go up. Even fuck those ones. You know, it's all about the Unglued. David will get behind me on this one. It's all about the Unglued.
No, Unhinged, man.
Yup.
No, Unglued.
Oh, man, I'm on team on it, on whatever.
On whatever.
Whatever, the John Avon ones. All right, so let's talk about the Titan, Ulamog. I wasn't very impressed, man, when I saw it go. I think a lot of people got all excited about reanimated targets and, like, Eternal formats, and I'm like, Grizzlebrand, Nemercool, or, like, what up? Like, what the fuck? I don't know. I don't see it, man. Maybe in Tron in Modern, maybe, but other than that, he's gonna do awesome and limited. He's gonna probably fucking be amazing. See the Unwritten, flip him into Standard, sure. But,
He's good. I mean,
I think he's really good.
Yeah, he's an Eldrazi,
I think they did a good job of
cutting
off. Well, they.
For an Eldrazi? He's a fucking Eldrazi, man. Like, oh, I thought he would do something else.
Yeah, but he exiles 2 permanents when you cast him.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
It doesn't matter whether it gets countered, nothing. Like, as soon as you cast him, you're exiling 2 permanents. So, that's gonna have a huge impact right there.
Oh, God.
And then he's a 10-10 indestructible. So I think that they did a good job. They didn't do Annihilator, which we all kind of figured that they were gonna do that. Yeah. Instead of doing Annihilator, they increased the bonus on the cast ability.
And 10 isn't, like, outrageous in standard, I think. Like, I mean, people are casting frickin' Ugin, and that's fine, right?
Yeah.
So...
And then in this set, you've got fucking just ass tons of ways to ramp things out anyway, so...
Yeah, you're gonna see that same thing that you used to with when Zendikar was in standard. You know, you had mono green like Eldrazi ramp,
overgrown battlements.
Overgrown battlements. You had Jiraga Tree Speaker. You had Eldrazi temples. You had Eye of Ugin. You know, there's gonna be other things like that. You had creatures that made those 1/1s. Now they actually are those 0/1s. Now they actually have
those
powers.
They're 1/1s. Yeah,
those are
even better.
I've already seen a few of those cards, and I haven't even got too far into the spoilers with it. But I've already seen a few of those cards. Then you've got that fucking. We'll get to the rest of the spoilers, but that.
Yep. Well, you know what's really interesting? What I love is they're getting so good at designing sets that interface with the last set. That delve and the exiling ability of the Eldrazi, but the ability to, like, go ahead, delve all you want. And then, like, I'm going to be able to pull those cards back with the Eldrazi and eat them. And
well,
then,
now,
like,
yeah, you also have the Devoid.
Oh, it's like Devoid, Ingest, like, very cool. Like, my brain can't get around because we haven't seen all the spoilers yet about, like, how you can make these loops occur. But if that just seems like something that's going to be fucking awesome to do. Like, that is great design. So at first, you know, it's not Annihilator, it's not the original Eldrazi, which is kind of disappointing, but this is cool, man. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And if Stan...
I'm digging it. I wasn't even around for, like, to deal with the original Eldrazi. I mean, I've, of course, have seen them in play, but I wasn't around back when this, you know, when the original Zendikar, like, was happening and what was going on in Standard and people using these fucking creatures and being in that environment. But, like, I'm excited about this. Like, I'm
and we only have, what, 12 cards spoiled? We haven't even seen anything yet. There could be Goblin Guides. There could be fucking a super aggressive, like, part of this block.
It's a bit more than 12.
All right, well, whatever. Maybe it's 25. I don't know. But we haven't seen, like, I don't know. I want to see more. It's probably next week they said that the spoilers really start, so we'll see what happens. What do you got?
We have 34, almost 40 cards spoiled, not counting the basics.
All right, well, there you go. David, once again, has to be right.
I don't have to be. Well, it's just that you guys keep being wrong.
Well, that's what we do,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, there's that. Well, it's like...
What does TSG think about Ulamog? Cube-worthy, not cube-worthy, garbage? What do you think?
I think he's pretty sweet, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of debate among the cube community if it's the too good, mill 10 magic card of when he attacks. And I would postulate that if you reanimate an Ulamog, or if you... I think that there are on-par cards.
Just so you know, it's not mill 10, it's mill 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's basically dead in one hit.
It could be. I don't know. There might be some strategy there. I mean, another one of the questions you have to ask is, how similar is it to cards that already exist?
Yeah.
How different is it? To me, it's just another Blightsteel Colossus of a different flavor.
No, that's actually a really good way to look at it. And he doesn't have protection. Like, you can kill it.
Blightsteel has no impact when you cast it, though.
Yeah, but you chances aren't cube. You're not cast. Well, maybe you are.
Blightsteel. You can't tinker for this guy. You can't reanimate Blightsteel. You can reanimate this guy. Like, I think he's just different enough that I like him enough to want to play with him. I could be horribly wrong.
I think that it would look gorgeous as a foil. I really want to see that.
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's up for debate. I think what's
up for debate. Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, you know that, to me, that's
going to happen.
The one thing I have to say about the art of the set. You know, let's just forget about the expedition frame. The frame of the Eldrazis do look good.
I like it.
I like it a lot. Like, in foil, oh, that fading color is just going to look gorgeous. I like it. I'm excited. I think this set's pretty decent so far from what we've seen. I know I'm excited. I was having an interesting conversation about, you know, do I play standard, which in paper it's just, I don't know. But if standard's going to be as cheap as I think it is because so many people are cracking shit trying to look for expeditions, I don't know, man. If I could get a standard deck for like $100 and I'm not talking mono red.
Play red!
Yeah, see, I don't want to play no fucking $40 mono red shit. I want to play something good, like, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep talking that shit and keep
until it wins another Pro Tour.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because the one thing I am trying to get right now is I really want my foil promo lightning bolts, and I'm like, I've missed twice now. I had chances to buy them, and I fucking waited just long enough for them to get snagged, and I'm just like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. So pissed. I gotta try to find a way. One guy actually DM'd me. He's like, I might have one. I'll send it out your way. So I'm like, what? Hope I can.
Might be I think Chad said something about looking for you too. That'd be cool. Like at fucking like GP fucking Oklahoma City.
Oh yeah. So I'm like, that's awesome, dude. I can't wait. It's so stupid. Now that I play modern, I'm just like, every time I cast a lightning bolt, I'm like, yeah, but this isn't a good looking lightning bolt. This is.
I love how things have just have gone throughout the years now that we've been doing this. Like, here we are in this day and age, and we're trying to find promo bolts for Maddie Studios. Like, you'd think this hunt would be on for me, but, like, we're, like, oh,
we
man, we got to find
on for you. We did that. We got you your bolts.
I know. I went through that, and then now the hunt is on to get Maddie some promo bolts.
Yeah. No, that it's just so beautiful. That's something I got to try. But the one thing that's really interesting, because I am 100% going to the pre-release, this is going to be fucking epic. This is going to be some fun times. If you guys have seen, they're not doing the box fucking thing that we got for the last, I don't know, 20
per se. Like, they are doing a box.
Okay, well, it's not going to be that shitty, flimsy cardboard thing they get you. Now it's going to be actually a deck box, which...
It's still made out of cardboard,
sure. But you know what? I mean, I don't know how many times I've walked around the pre-release and people are trying to carry their decks around in those fucking flimsy things. Now, yeah. I think this is just brilliant. Oh, well, here's your kit.
Yeah.
Everything's in it. Open it up, play with it, put your cards in it, boom, go to your next round. Like, great idea. I would love it if we just, from now on, that's what we do. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Great idea. Just really great idea.
You still get the D20. Still get the random promo card. I think, you know, we've talked for a while about the pros and the cons of the way they've changed pre-releases. I think everybody at this point is really over you pick a color, regardless of whether or not,
I wouldn't mind that coming back once in a while. That was fun. I did like that.
Okay. We'll put that in the pocket, so six months from now, when we hate this.
I feel like that does need to come back every once in a while, but only when, like, the colors matter.
Yes, exactly. Like, if there's a guild or a tribe.
Right, a guild or a tribe,
100%. But I love the idea of the deck box. I think that's fucking great, man. And what a great, you know, I went to the pre-release, here's my deck. It's like a great lead-in, like, with a branding, and like, this set really feels like they're giant pushes to grow the player base. Like, everything about Zendikar is about growing the player base. Hiring Will Wheaton, because they want to get nerds who don't play Magic. Like, everything they're doing, including, hey, come to a pre-release, here's your kit, the deck box, like, you're essentially playing Magic. I just change up the deck,
and
I'm playing Standard. So good.
This is fucking sweet too, because the kid that fucking puts everything in his deck box and comes back to F&M a couple weeks in a row and then starts to realize that this cardboard deck box has fallen apart, then he's gonna fucking walk up to the counter, he's gonna buy a real deck box because he's like, oh man, I want one that's not made out of cardboard that's gonna fall apart. But this gives him, you know, something to start with.
Yeah, it's just already ingraining in them that this is how you play Standard. Like, I think it's fantastic. It's really good. I'm excited. I don't know if I really like the totally random promo kind of thing. I think there's a lot of randomness in that.
I like it. I definitely like it. It's a random mythic or rare. Like, at least it's not just a random card.
Would it be?
Like,
here's the question: would it be busted if it was random mythic only?
I don't think so.
Because not all mythics are like limited playable. So actually, it's almost like a deterrent.
Well, yeah, no, I get that, but because then you could look at the mythics of the set. Well, I guess you're not picking a color anyway, I don't think it would be busted. They could just go mythic only, but then that maybe might fucking.
And then you get the like 10 costing like red dragon that steals artifacts. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, no, but what it is you look at like what you know mythics are like. You know the rate that mythics are as opposed to rares, and then if everybody there is guaranteed a fucking mythic in their box, like, does that kind of fuck things up? Like, I think the
probably, mythic form, right? Probably drives prices down. I don't know. It's probably a bad idea, because mythics don't necessarily lead to good gameplay, and that probably doesn't. Yeah. So. interesting.
I think the mythic or rare is good. I'm glad that they didn't just go, like, you could get one of any of the card in the set in foil with a stamp on it. Like, they at least are like, okay, it's just mythic or rare. Because they very well could have been like, I mean, you know, it's just you get one of any of the cards, but it's just got, like, randomly, but it's just fucking foil and it's got a fucking a stamp on it. So you get a foil common with a stamp on it, and you're like, oh, good, this is what I showed up for. At least, you know, you get a rare mythic, you got a lot better chance of getting something that's going to be nice, yeah, you know, sell down the road or keep as a collector's item or whatever. You know?
If they included commons, though, wouldn't it be sick to get the all pre-release stamped set?
That's...
Oh, shit.
That's like some that, crazy OCDC thing
some,
for...
Yeah, that's some next-level bullshit, yeah, but that would be fucking cool.
Nah, man, think about... There are people out there, you know, all the, like, the rules tip cards inserts, like all the ad cards they put in there, the ones that don't have tokens on them? There are people out there that collect all the iterations of those cards.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Who does that?
Those are the kind of people that also... Yeah, those are the kind of people that also collect people in their basement.
And chop them up in freezers.
Wait, that's not normal?
No, David, remember what I said. Can't do that, man.
No, see, there's a big difference.
No, I was thinking it was a friend of mine.
Dave, there's a huge difference between collecting people and people that wronged you.
Guys. One is good, one is bad.
You don't just collect random people in your basement freezer just because. You collect
That's my friend. The other one's
that's,
me.
That's the difference between collecting, like, a full set of fucking, you know, pre-release fucking stamped promos and just collecting tip cards. There's, you know, some people are crazy. Some people are like, all right, man, that's your thing. Cool.
He just came over to check the swamp cooler.
Yeah, well, I didn't have one of those.
Yeah,
so
he had to show him in the basement. Come on down, buddy. All right, well, let's I don't know. Actually, before we hit spoilers, let's talk about Oath.
We've still got plenty of shit.
Well, we could jump. You want to go jump into Zendikar?
Hey, let's talk about this art book, right?
Oh, shit.
Mike, Vorthos, Mike, so excited, right?
Huge shout out. He got on the mothership. Huge profile. By the way, if anyone, this is his cast. Should follow Vorthos Mike. He is the guy who likes Wiener dogs. And make sure you put that in the correct order and don't take out dogs. But he's also really, really good with art. He is the man to speak to. And he's been championing releasing an art book for, I don't know, ever. And I'm 100% on board with this. I think this is fucking amazing.
I feel like I when Wizards came out with their, like, Wizards, like, Twitter, like, when they tweeted out, they're like, people have been asking fucking for an art book for, you know, years now, and we finally decided to give it. I feel like that's been Mike the whole time.
Could be.
Like, when they say people have been asking, they could have just been like, oh, so Vorthos Mike has been asking for an art book for, like, 5 years now, and here it is, we're finally releasing it. Because, I mean, I'm not saying, like, other people didn't, but I feel like that guy had a huge drive
behind
it.
I'm not saying this and as any official acknowledgement that this occurred or not, but there was a shadow league of maybe me, Mike, and a few others who would every day log on to the Wizards questionnaires and make sure we changed their IP addresses and filled them out several times with art, Vorthos. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting that now they're going in that direction based on user feedback. I'm just saying. Actually, I think it's great. 100% I hope Santa brings me this one under the tree. It is beautiful. And anything else more, like, to go into the lore. I love that. It's just, how awesome is that to give to a new player and they could be like, wow, this game is so deep. I don't know. Sweet.
Yeah.
Totally awesome.
Just keep it on your fucking coffee table and shit.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't keep it out here in the fucking dungeon because, like, we're just going to spill shit on it. But, like, I can keep it in the office. Like Marcel's room.
How awesome would like, a blank art book be for Heavy Metal? It just has a Heavy Metal logo on it and it's all blank. It's just for people to come over, spill shit on, sign their signature.
That'd be awesome. Oh, yeah.
Now, every, like, sixth page.
I got a tattoo machine for that.
Heavy penis.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes!
I mean, you know what? Dude, you got to meet player expectation. And I think that's just what people expect. Apparently. That's on the Reddit. That's on the official Heavy Metal Reddit.
What? I got a tattoo machine for GP Christ.
Oh.
Like, we're fucking...
Yeah, not to get too deep in the Twitter hole, but I really don't think that's a good idea. You should not have a tattoo machine in your house. I think.
Oh, no. I know it's a terrible idea. I bought it for my wife, and, like, literally the day it showed up, like, that night, we got drunk.
You're scribbling.
And it, after, after David was passing out of my chair and Jerome had got home, Daniel's the only one still awake, and he's like, man, doesn't that hurt? I'm like, not right now, does it? Because I was just tattooing on myself a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, I think I just need to give a portion of my leg to the SVU, and I'm going to just start carrying this tattoo machine around with me. And, you know, just like Marcel's wow. fucking community.
You want to be the living embodiment of that man.
Just of the SVU, just, yes. I want these
covered in liquor, blood, and semen. Nice.
Yes, covered in liquor, blood, and semen, and also some signatures that are permanent. I can wash off liquor, blood, and semen. Yeah,
so you keep saying in the shower. Out, damn spot, out. Yeah. Let's out, you damn spot. Oath of Gay Watch was also spoiled, which is the next set, and
or Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Kevin, that was a home run right there, brother. That was a good one. It looks like we win. Hey, we threw all of Ulamog back through a porthole, and we're gonna watch the gate now. I don't know why they spoiled that right away. I think that was kind of like premature.
See, that's why I think that there's a lot more to that. Like I get what you're saying. Like the whole Oath of the Gatewatch and like the artwork that came along with it. It's like, cool. Okay, cool. So
it's cool.
So basically, they are like, they're cool. All right, we got rid of the Eldrazi, and now we got a fucking we got this pact together. You know, all these planeswalkers that are opposite colors and all this shit have this kind of pact together that they're gonna make sure and fucking watch the gate. And make sure that the Eldrazi don't come back. But you know, goddamn good and well, some shit is going to happen in the third set. Like, you know, the Eldrazi are going to come back through, or fucking you're going to find out that fucking Jace has been an Eldrazi the whole time, and that's why people like him. I don't know. Like,
Jace, what is that giant throbbing tentacle thing under your robe? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Something's going on. Yeah, he got bit by one Eldrazi. They're going to cross over into all the zombie shows. He got bit by one of the Eldrazi, and they didn't realize it was happening. So fucking now he's just throwing tentacles out of his ass.
I have to ingest. I mean, you have to ingest. I mean, don't look. I'm devoid. I think they should have waited on this announcement.
Hey, I'm marking it right here. Fucking third set. We get a colorless Jace. He's got a castle for blue, but he's colorless.
Oh, yeah. How to make Jace better? He's fucking colorless. Yeah. The mind sculptor. The tentacle sculptor. I think they should have waited. I think it's just like, we haven't even got to play the set yet, and we're already being told, the big battle you're worried about doesn't matter. I think they should have waited.
See, I don't know. I think that's why I think that sometimes we criticize Wizards for making bad decisions, but I don't think that they're that stupid. Like, I don't think they threw that out there. It's going to make, you know, at first glance, you're like, oh, shit, so the Eldrazi lose? Like, so, I mean... Yeah, like you're saying, well, why would you throw that out there before we've even touched this set or even seen this? So I don't think that it's, you know, it's face value. I don't think that, like, what we're what everybody's obviously reading into it, I don't think that's what's happening.
I think it's like, 100%. I don't know, dude. I don't think they're that deep. I think that's exactly what it is. They just wanted to make sure, guys, in January, boom. I don't know. Anyways.
Some shit's going to go down. They're going to be like, we're the Oath of the Gatewatch. Like, Ugalamog's already here. We can't do much about that because this guy's fucking everything up. But now we have to try to keep out Kozilek and Emrakul because, like, they keep coming through this gate. So we should probably hang out over here and keep those motherfuckers out.
Well, how sick would that have looked, eh? Like, the gate breaking open with a giant tentacle coming through. I don't know. We could have just stuck a Kraken logo on that shit and sold a million.
No, that's the third set, man. They're holding on to that.
Yeah, they're going to trick us. They're like, hey, remember when we told you we moved everything to two sets? We're just lying. It's actually three sets, bitch.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I forgot about that. God damn it. Because I had this whole theory where, like, third set's called Gates Broken. And then the rest of them made it
that's
in.
Pretty...
Shit.
Couldn't they have just called this set Gatewatch?
I think it would be too close to the second.
Nightwatch?
No, what's Nightwatch? The second Gates in the Ravnica cycle?
Gate crash.
Yeah, I think it would be just too close to that. That's why they did it, right? Anyways.
Interesting.
All you had to do is drop the Oath of Gatewatch. It immediately sounds better. But anyways, I don't know. It's fine. I love it. Who cares? We're going to get more fetch lands.
Yeah, I like... No, you're so crazy. You're so bored, though. Don't give me that bullshit. I think they're going to do the reverse.
Girl, you're so bored, though.
You're so bored, though, bitch. I'm just saying this.
That is my next spring campaign. Aw, girl, you so Vorthos.
For your Vorthos minute, I'm going to go deep as shit. I guarantee you Obnixisilis, whatever his fucking name is, Demon Boy, he is going to be the one that the other four make a deal with to give his spark back because they need his black mana energy to keep the gate closed, and then he gets off of Zendikar. Called it. Boom! Wow. I'm calling it right now.
Already went immediately deeper than I was going to go. Oh, all I was going to say is, you know, we had the rise of the, we had the,
battle.
What was it, New Phyrexia storyline where the bad guys won. This one definitely feels like we're setting up for the heroes to win this time around.
See, this is what, okay, if Wizards had balls, fucking balls, where they would just kill Jace, just fucking kill him, just fucking do something like, oh my god, Gatewatch.
They're not gonna kill their poster boy.
Why wouldn't you? Oh my god, you wanna blow fucking, why would you blow people's minds?
Why would you kill Jace when you could just kill Chandra off and see how that works?
Oh, sure, kill any one of the motherfuckers. I don't kill Nissa. Who gives a shit? But I'm just saying
they killed Elspeth.
Yeah, well, that was bad, but they did it horribly. Imagine this. They bill it as all the packaging is all bright and shiny, all the marketing it is, everything, and then they're like, oh, by the way, Emrakul came back and killed Jace.
That'd be so.
Oh my god! I just see Jace just smash his face, just smash.
I don't think that would be good from like a fucking a marketing point of view. From a story point of view,
you'd be like, holy, I am invested because there's lasting changes. I mean, the last thing you want is something that everything is rewritten. And I find like...
Maybe 15 years later, they'll throw a Shyamalan twist in there. They'll be like, oh man, this shit fucking works.
What the twist? That would be awesome. Hey, I'm all for that, man. Just keep mixing it up. I like being surprised, so... I think we will. Who knows? I just hope that Battle for Zendikar isn't just, hey, the Eldrazi are wrecking shit. Oh, Nissa got really powered up by the Ley Lines and just beat everyone. It's all good. That's a pretty weak storyline. Apparently we're getting Uncharted Realm stories every week and shit, and I'm like, okay, guys, I don't want no filler shit here. I want real meat.
I don't want all killer, no filler.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just want... Come on, man. The characters don't need to be... Okay, you've milked them for fucking God knows how long now, since Lorwyn. Like, okay, one or two can, you know, go, man.
I think they're doing that. I think they are trying to fuck with that a little bit by getting rid of Elspeth, bringing back Gideon. They're, you know, like, fucking, they killed off Koth, that motherfucker ain't coming back, but who knows?
They killed Koth. Why are you always killing the black guy on us? Like, dude, Koth is alive, man.
No, he is? I thought they killed Koth, my bad.
They just, like, wrote him right out, dude. Like, no chances. Fuck it, you're dead, bitch. He's fighting for Phyrexians, man. You know what? Here's the thing, though. I think Morrow or somebody on the world-building panel, I can't remember which one I was watching, they were talking about how they're trying to plan 7, 8, 9 years out now, and they want to have continuation. And what they don't want is... they maybe went too hard with the same planeswalkers for so long that they've made too many versions, and they're like, well, how do we make a new blue planeswalker? Because Jace has eaten up all the blue planeswalker design space, and they want, like, planeswalkers to have identities. So, like, that's where I feel like maybe it's time to rotate them a little quicker, you know? I think we see the original five way too much, and I get why we're doing it this time. I get it.
We just rebooted 5 planeswalkers.
I know.
And we're going to see a shit ton of them.
But
I feel bad for you, Maddie. Yeah. These are about to become our long-term roommates for quite a while.
Well, hey, give me some random weird guys on the side. Oh, that's it. Fuck, don't edit that shit.
Oh, jeez.
Cut that out. Edit point.
Just give me some side guys. You'll be good.
Fucking Mark Rosewater. Always pulling me in the wrong.
Are you talking like truck stop guys or guys you know? Like,
I am talking about demons from other worlds, man, that need their spark ignited. What? No, that sounds horrible. That doesn't even sound...
My name's Maddie Studios, and I'm just looking for a few weird guys on the side, and I'm going to ignite your spark.
That's it. That's my profile right now, right? Oh, my God. That's the worst.
That's it.
Oh, I'm fucking...
You're plenty of...
That is bad. All right, let's. Do we want to get into spoilers or do we want to talk about worlds? Which
we can talk about mechanics. We can talk about a few. I mean, are there anything exciting you for? Real quick example: we no longer have Eldrazi spawn. We have Eldrazi scion.
That's cool.
They're not as pr- probably prevalent and plentiful as spawn used to be, but hey, now they can attack and block as 1/1s. That's kind of exciting, right?
I think that's great, man. In standard with that goddamn sword, I think that's absurdly good.
There's a lot of talk of what do these Eldrazi processors do? They have like a subtype where they could take the cards that are exiled by your opponent and put them in various zones to do various things.
I think that's going to be like a mechanic. We process the exiled cards for an effect. So, but it's interesting that they put them back in the graveyard. So it's I could delve away all my cards. My opponent actually processes them into something. But then I get my delved cards back, which is kind of interesting. You know, I think that's, there's an interesting like play there, like a tension between that. I don't know if we'll see that in standard or not, but it's really cool. I just hope that all these processor cards don't cost 5 up, right? I hope we get some more aggressive low end stuff, because these Eldrazi decks seem kind of weak on the cheap creatures to me. That flying blue one, eh. I don't know about that in Jess too, where they mill the top card, but I guess that builds up. I'm sure in standard that's going to be impactful if you're going to play the Ingest deck.
The Ingest deck.
Hey, you say that too fast, buddy, and that is not right.
Yeah, you and your weird guys on the side.
I like to ingest decks. I like to brew ingest decks.
I want to ignite your spark and ingest your deck.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. It's fucking horrible. The worst. Oh, man. I don't know. You know, it's weird because I'm not as excited for the Eldrazi mechanics as I am to see what they're going to do with Landfall. That's where I want it. Just give us more Landfall cards, because that's the jam, man. I love that stuff. Even the Hydra, as gay as it is, I mean, that's just going to be an average Hydra. That's awesome, dude. Landfall with forest? Like, what is it? Like, basic forest matters kind of Landfall? That's awesome.
Well, that's from a rare cycle, because we saw the Guardian spoiled a week earlier, where there was an island.
Yeah, if it's an island,
tap a guy,
if you have
landfall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if it's an island, they stay tapped.
The cat, the flying cat, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more interested to see where the Awaken mechanic can go, because we got a couple of decent spoilers for that mechanic over the weekend. We've got our new kind of Moldrifter from the set in the form of this Coastal Discovery, where for 4 mana you can draw 2 cards, or for 6 mana you can make a 4/4 and draw 2 cards, which sounds pretty fucking exciting for limited. And then you've got the newest incarnation of Heroes Downfall, which has moved to a sorcery in the form of Ruinous
which
Path.
Immediately which becomes less exciting. I mean, it immediately becomes a different card. In standard, that card now becomes like Silence the Believers plus make a dude. You know, it's not something that's going to save you early on in the game or fix your pinpoint removal. It's like, well, good luck. You know, you're going to have 7 mana. Maybe you're going to do something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of really interesting the way they did that, because if it was an instant, like,
well, then it's
fucking
absurd.
Control decks would be salivating over it. But because it's a sorcery, the decks that can really take advantage of that Awaken are kind of like, not really into that, because I'd like to be able to hold up mana for other things. So I don't know. I like the balance to it. They took Heroes Downfall. They added something and then they took something away. Now clearly they took more away than they added, but it is a very interesting thing, especially because when this hits, Heroes Downfall will rotate out. So if you want that ability, this is all we've got so far.
I mean, I hope we get something.
I mean, I'm glad it's staying in standard in general. Having that access in black seems like it's pretty key. But, you know, I don't know. I'm still very excited about that mechanic. I think Awaken is going to have a lot of...
Oh, no, I like Awaken a lot. I'm just comparing it just on Heroes Downfall right now.
So do you guys think, like, Go for the Throat / Doomblade is just too good now? They just can't make it 2 mana?
I keep forgetting to unmute my microphone. I keep trying to make points, and I'm like, fuck!
Nobody listens to me anymore. Why am I on this game?
Yeah, I was like, I get the fact that nobody listens to my opinion, but when I start yelling, usually people shut up to see what's happening.
He's like, man, these guys just keep talking right over me.
And I was like, okay, yeah, no, they're getting too good at talking over me, or wait, yep, my microphone's on mute.
But what do you?
I just want to say I do like the Awaken mechanic, because it just is like I mean, it depends card to card, but I like the Awaken mechanic because it just gives you that, like, you know, there's those cards that, like, that's great early on, then later on, they're kind of dead, or, you know, it's a mana sink. You know, you can be like,
Awaken as a mechanic is great. I'm just comparing it to how well it adds to Hero's Downfall by turning
like Runa's Path versus Hero's Downfall, yeah.
Yeah, and Awaken is just, you know, I'm just talking about it in reference to that card itself. I think the Awaken mechanic is great.
Now, Hero's Downfall is 2, right? 2 black?
Yep, 2 black.
It's the same mana cost, and it's the same effect. It's just they took it and made it a sorcery and added Awaken. That's all they did.
Okay, I get you.
I mean, like, I was just going to say, to get back to, like, looking at where removal is going to sit, if that's the new standard, like, do we get 2 mana removal? Like, really good in removal anymore? Or is that just, like, not a thing?
Oh, give us fucking...
That's what I'm saying.
We've had various 2 mana removal spells, I feel like, recently.
Since
Ultimate Price.
Ultimate Price. Yeah, but Ultimate Price is really limiting. Like, almost unconditional. Go for the Throat and Doomblade, like, those were decent, you know? Ultimate Price is a little...
I think it really just boils down to the set itself. Like, they don't want to print it. Like,
I think what's interesting right now is a card like Valorous Stance is the hot ticket in the standard.
Yep, Stance is awesome. And especially with all these Eldrazi.
They're really trying to shift and make, like...
Get your play sheds different
limitations.
Get your foil Valorous Stances now. That's going to be the jam to get rid of Eldrazi's.
You never know. We have one mechanic from this set that is currently really seemingly underutilized because it was spoiled on one card. Yeah, Converge.
Horrible.
Dude,
it is. It think about this. We don't have the ability to fetch your off color. So if you're a blue-white deck, you can fetch a blue-white land. Right? Like, I don't know. I just don't see this being that exciting.
I mean, we got a literal dual land set. They actually have the land types, which is still surprising to me, getting printed. You don't think there's room for this mechanic to do something?
Do you think we're going to be having 5 color decks? Maybe.
It'd be nice. It's been a long time.
Maybe 4 color decks?
Yeah, 4 colors seems pretty reasonable with being able to actually fetch them out.
You can go.
It'd be interesting to see, though. I think another thing we'll really have to see the green ramp spells that come out. Because if we see a reprint of, what was the, not Rampant Growth, the other one that was last...
Explosive Vegetation?
No,
I'd love to see a Farseek, but I don't think we're going to see
Farseek. Yeah, that was the one I was looking for. If Farseek is reprinted, then I definitely think you'll see 4 and 5.
Yeah, no way. No way they're going to print that. What do they got? The Nissa 6 mana costing...
Nissa's renewal. I'm not talking about.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a number of those. They also have what is Nissa's something else in fucking
Origins,
Dragons or Origins. Yeah, Origins. Animus Awakening or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like the spells that make you, I don't know. Like it's all going to be about like X. Like your spell is X times the colors you get. I don't know.
I think there's more room for it than there was in Spellburst. Sunburst. And Sunburst had a shot. You know, like, there's no reason they couldn't print a card of Engineered Explosives caliber in this coming set.
Ooh, wow, right? That! I did not think of that. Wow. Okay, Engineered Explosives is an expensive card in Modern. If they give us a Converge-style artifact, that's exciting. Now you got me excited again. Yeah. All right, that's pretty dope.
And now he's got his boner.
My boner's getting a little hard. That's pretty dope.
I mean, I do think there's a lot of room with this mechanic. We're just not seeing any of the cards right now because we're all excited by Spaghetti Monsters. I'm not really sure how the limited format's going to break down, because I'm actually kind of surprised that with all of this stuff going on with Exile and Graveyards and decks and all these interactions, that there is even space for something like that in the set. So... I'm keenly interested to see where it goes.
You know what I think we will see? Will be something like an Everflowing Chalice / I can't remember what that damn card was from original Mirrodin. Pentad Prism? Is that what it is? Where you spend 3 different color mana, you get 3 counters on it? Tap for any color you want. If we see something like that, like kind of a storage artifact based on that mechanic, I think that would be really good. I mean, there's a lot of design space that we're thinking of. Let's hope there.
Yeah, I don't know how much they want to devote to it in the set, because there feels like there's so much else going on. And maybe that's going to be something that's tied to the next set and how things play out. If there's something that's underutilized in terms of the draft strategies or the avenues that they go down. It's something that Mark Rosewater has talked about at length, about how when they did Fifth Dawn, they hadn't set it up at all in Mirrodin. And look at this, how the set played out. Here, maybe they're setting it up. Maybe it's going to connect to the next set in some way we're not seeing yet. Either way, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's cool. The one card we should talk about is freaking Gideon, though. Cause,
I was just going to ask that, because I didn't know if you guys talked about that while I was So what do you guys think of Gideon?
Well, I can like comment. I think that guy is broken. That is crazy, man. Four mana, Gideon, immediately just... You know, kill him off for a plus one.
You can, immediately just give it an emblem.
And if you think about it, like all the little things making tokens, not the fact that he zeros for a knight.
That is
wow.
This is the first thing I thought about this real quick. Like, okay, yeah, we've got these emblems.
The other thing you have to say is it's not just a knight; it's also an ally.
And it's a 2/2.
So, yeah, it's an ally.
Yeah.
Well, I think the fact that it's an ally is a big deal.
I mean, just based on the first green white ally guy we saw. That guy makes a perfect, setup to Gideon.
And FYI, fuck allies.
Yeah, I don't want... Okay, you know what's funny? I agree with that statement. I really don't want to play allies, because I just had a bad taste in my mouth from last time, but... oh, wow, that's horrible, too. What the fuck am I saying? I don't...
Maddie.
Oh, fuck you, man. I don't even... Okay, I'm just saying this. Allies, I'm not excited, but... It looks like it's going to be powerful this time. It's not just going to be Jane.
All right. I got to ask this. This has been happening, you know, a little more recently with these planeswalkers and stuff. Yeah, everybody's getting emblems. Like, seems like everybody's getting emblems nowadays. And it took how long to, like, other than, like, destroy target permanent, how long did it take before we got a destroy target planeswalker? Like, how long do you think it's gonna take before we get fucking destroy target emblem cards?
I don't think we ever will, because emblems come up so rarely play.
On all of the fucking planeswalkers now?
Yeah, but I mean, in gameplay. How many times do you pull an emblem? Rarely, right?
Right, it's true. And it doesn't have to be like they have to fucking pop them off like fucking...
I think they want
that all the time.
I think they want that to be super... They're gonna wait a while.
It's just an absolute permanent thing that just can't fucking go away.
That's what they said about Exile Zone was supposed to be non-interactive.
Like, Exile Zone, and now we have cards that you can... I mean, shit, what was that Mist Hollow Griffin or something like that?
Yep.
You could cast from Exile, you could interact with the Exile Zone now. Forever, you could get rid of permanents, but, Planeswalker, actual targeted cards, how long do you think it's going to be before they word in? And again, it doesn't have to be something that's there all the time, but when are these emblems, especially because, what makes me think of it is Gideon. Because Gideon, now, it's not like, oh, how often do you interact with a fucking emblem? Which is true, up to this point. Now you have Gideon that you can cast 4 mana, drop him 4, and you have an emblem on the board, right then. Like, it's just going to be there all the time. Now you have an anthem effect that you can't get rid of no matter what. This emblem, if you drop Gideon for 4, and then you fucking knock 4 off of him, right off the bat, you have an anthem effect that can never, ever go away through the rest of the fucking game. And if they keep pushing it like this, if you keep, adding emblems to, every fucking planeswalker, at least, one every fucking cycle of planeswalkers we go through, or every set of planeswalkers we go through, you get a fucking, there's new emblems showing up all the time. And at some point...
Did you just bowl the longest bowling ball ever? Because I just heard this, sound of, a bowling ball just slowly being bowled down.
Oh. No, that's just
that's
a
jet
flying,
flying in the background.
Oh, nice.
David's hearing it, too.
No,
Either it's the biggest bowling ball ever, and David can hear it, too, Or, yeah, it's just a
joke. I don't know. I think emblems are just... something has to be special. I don't think they have any plans anytime soon.
I completely get that, and I've always thought, like, hey, when are they going to start letting us interact with emblems?
I'll tell you when they will. When they make planeswalkers that are 3 mana, 2 mana, that you can blow right away for a fucking emblem.
Right, I get that, but this one's 4 mana. This one's fucking 4 mana, and you can fucking you literally can get through your 4 Gideons in your fucking deck and have like a constant.
I gotta get a dictionary. I need new words. I need new words in my vocabulary.
When they make planeswalkers where you can ignite their spark and ingest their
for
deck
2 mana. Oh my god. All right, well let's. I mean, I don't know.
Does that not make sense?
I don't think so, dude.
You could get through the 4 Gideons in your deck. I mean, now granted, of course, this is like the beginning
of
it.
You make
that
deck. We'll see how good it does.
You get through the 4 Gideons in your deck, and now you just have a permanent 4/4 emblem, basically, because you can't interact with emblems. Because they're going to stay there, and if you just drop each one of them, you know, as you cast it.
The majority of the time, when you're talking about an emblem that just gives you +1/+0, he's not even the first one that does that. Like,
yeah,
Sorin,
what I'm getting at is that he's the first one I think that we've seen that you can get an emblem the turn you cast him before you're fucking opponent.
No, that's what I'm saying. Sorin, he would minus and give the creatures +1/+0 an emblem. Yeah. All your creatures get +1/+0, and he didn't even die.
Yeah, that was a -2.
Oh yeah,
he was like starts at 3. So, his +1 was he made a 1/1 vampire with lifelink, and his -2 was give all your creatures +1/+0.
That was a dope.
And so people use it, but that wasn't busted.
Yeah,
but you got this guy, you got Sorin's emblem. I feel like there's going to be a point, like, they're pushing it harder, where these emblems, like, where we used to just have, like, ultimates for the most part. Now, Sorin is a little different case, but, like, usually you see the emblems at their ultimate. And you don't see it very often, because you don't often see a Planeswalker ultimate. I just feel like that if they're going to keep pushing this kind of shit that on Planeswalkers, where you're going to see an emblem all the time, and now it's getting easier and easier for that emblem to pop off, that at some point, people are going to have, like, tables full of emblems, and you can't interact with them.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I think you're stretching it, dude.
It depends on the emblem. Like, yeah, maybe they have a table full of emblems, but, like, if they have 6 Gideon emblems and they have no creatures on board, it doesn't do anything.
I'll tell you what,
the emblems that do more and more, it's harder
then you
to get them to that point.
I think it's dead talking space, because it's just like, yeah, it's not impact.
You're dead talking space.
Yeah, but then when you, like, you cast, like, you can have all those emblems, but then you cast a, you know, fucking, like, oh, I got 3 fucking goblet, one goblet.
How about a hangerback walker? There you go, boom.
Yeah, like, you've got, like, fucking ridiculous fucking counters. Now, again, I'm not saying that, like, Gideon is going to make them go, oh, shit, well, we got Gideon and Sorin now, we need to fucking come up with a way to interact with emblems. But I do feel like it's coming at some point, because these emblems are fucking everywhere now, and there's no way to interact
with them. Put a marker on the episode. Let's see how many years it takes. Kevy,
exactly.
Predicted this in 2015,
whatever.
Man.
I'm not arguing that at some point they might be able to...
What was the last Pro Tour? I've had just about enough vodka. What was the last Pro Tour?
You know,
it depends. Do you consider Worlds to be a Pro Tour?
Yeah, no. I do, don't you? It's actually, come on.
No,
come on. I think it's probably the highest level competition you can have, right?
No, but TSG, what is this Worlds you speak of?
Segway.
I'm not sure, Kevin.
Did anyone watch it? Because I did. Anyone else?
You know what's fucking... Yeah. I kept seeing it tweeted the whole fucking time, and I, like, just didn't really have time. I had other shit going on. And then I finally, like, came out into my back room to smoke, and fucking... I was like, oh, dude, fucking... This fucking final match is going on? I gotta fucking tune in. I literally fucking got on Twitch to have the stream load up to see just in time for those 2 Siege Rhinos and the handshake. Well, first Seth Mansfield, like, grabbing his hair, freaking out, and then the handshake, and I was like, right on. I watch fucking Worlds. I'm good. It took like 30
Come
seconds.
On, that was an emotional ending, man. We had tears.
No, it was awesome. I wish I would have watched more of it. I just didn't, because I had other shit going on. And then I was like, oh cool. Like, I'm out in the back smoking, and I'm seeing, like, I'm interacting with people on Twitter, and I keep seeing, like, everybody's talking about fucking World Champs, and like, the shit's going on right now. It's like, oh, shit, I could jump on and watch, like, what's going on right now, at least. And then I tuned in just in time to literally see that last fucking play, and that was it. And I was cool with it.
It was great. I thought the coverage was really good, except for someone, but I don't really want to get into it. But let's just say this. Wizards, guys, man.
Fuck you, Will Wheaton.
No. Fuck you. I think Jackie Lee was a little weak in the booth. I got to be honest. I mean, I think she's a great card designer. I think she's a great Magic player. I love the pink hair, red hair, but I just think she just was horrible in the comment booth, man. Like, the LSV was ignoring what she was saying because it was like, what? You're just like, come on, man. I think they need to, like, step up their game and, you know, LSV, Ian Duke, man, boom, 1-2 punch. Those guys are top-notch commenting, you know? Maybe stop trying to throw everybody who works at Wizards on the coverage team, you know?
And maybe they're just trying to do that to see which ones actually work out.
And that's
because,
fine.
You know, finding
that's fine.
Chemistry.
That's fine.
You know, but, like, it's like, try it out for a few. Let them get their legs because, you know, some people might be great at, you know, commentary or and knowledge of the
maybe
game.
Maybe the Pro
but
Tour, but maybe the freaking Worlds is not the place to try someone out. Maybe throw out. Them on the GP circuit with Marshall for 10 rounds. Like, you know, I don't understand the logic of throwing
there.
Some people on that huge stage. It's Worlds. It's the key event. I think, like, the level should have been a little higher.
I don't think so, because, like, I mean, it's Worlds, and that I, you know, theoretically should be, like, the world stage. But at the same time, like, again, I only tuned in for, like, fucking 4 minutes, but, like, the coverage seemed to lack a lot. Or, I mean, even just, like, the graphics and shit like that lacked a lot compared to the Pro Tour. I think that the Pro Tour, 4 times a year, is what they consider, like, the main stage.
It could be. I think they consider it, like, a fifth Pro Tour. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to harp too much on them because, you know, they're doing. I get it, you know.
Hey, it's PAX weekend. Maybe Jackie Lee was just been fucked up the whole weekend. Like, it'd be like asking one of us to fucking, you know, jump in and be like, oh, all right, I guess I'll try.
You know what, too? But it's PAX weekend, and they're trying to show, hey, look, girls. There's girls on coverage. Like, I think they threw her in there a little unprepared, and maybe it was done for other reasons than just like, hey.
Well, you gotta look at it.
I don't know. There was a lot of stuff that was a little weird, like about why you would do it at this time. Like, I have nothing wrong.
I feel like if you're gonna drop the ball, PAX is the place to do it because like everybody.
Maybe.
Like, well,
maybe,
I mean, if everybody that gives a shit or matters is at PAX. The people that are at home obviously didn't get a pass, so they're just like, oh man, I wish I could be at PAX.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a good idea to be like, oh, let's put our best foot forward at PAX so all the people that wish they were there would be like, oh, man, this seems awesome. Wizards is really doing some shit. But, like, yeah, maybe the place to drop the ball is at PAX. They're like, ah, none of these people fucking matter. They didn't make it to PAX, so, you know, they can just fucking sit at home and watch whatever we give them.
Yeah, I mean, you probably jumped on too late. If you had jumped on to the modern rounds, that's where I was interested because, obviously, the inbred metagame of the fucking Worlds event is not something that you should look at in terms of anything that's going to be innovative in terms of new deck lists and shit, because it's not. It's
never really thought about that part of it, but yeah,
but
you're
I mean,
right.
Like, that's...
Oh, it's Worlds and Modern. Like, this is going to be boring as
well,
balls.
It's not. You know what was weird? It wasn't, like, Burn. There was actually, I think only one guy played Burn. Tiago Chan played Burn, and he fucking got his ass handed to him. But, like, it's one of those things that they're playing so many formats that they're not trying to innovate. They're just trying to pick a deck that they feel is relatively they're confident to play. Yeah, I mean, it was essentially Obzon versus Affinity. That was kind of what it was, man. And I was like, ugh, really? Affinity? I mean, the deck is good. It's interesting. It was as far as the deck choices were concerned, it wasn't that exciting. I thought we'd see something else.
I mean, what did Seth Manfield play in Modern? I don't remember.
He played Affinity, didn't he?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Shit, I don't know.
He went undefeated in that realm.
I don't
as
even
I recall,
think he was on coverage for the Modern rounds. I don't.
Maddie, he wasn't even there.
Yeah, he was. He was there, dude. He went 16-1 or something, or 15-1. I mean, he
did win the entire.
No, he did. Well, he's good. He's good. The Sean McLaren, though, if you want to go back and watch some funny shit, watch Sean McLaren give a deck tech on his deck, which essentially was kind of like a weird young Pyromancer build, essentially what it was. Like, Pyromancer control is what he was trying to go for. And, I mean, that guy is so good that he could take that pile of shit and actually win fucking games with it. But he was so outclassed in terms of, like, power level. Oh, my God. That was interesting. But, like, just hearing him build his deck and why he chose it, it was kind of cool because they're just like, I like these cards. I'm going to play them. That's the only reason I built this deck. So that was kind of cool, you know, where they aren't, like, trying to be like, hey, I built this deck because we calculated this gigantic team of 50 people have tested the format to death. So, I don't know. There was that. Other than that, Worlds is Worlds. It is what it is.
It is weird. It's 3 days of coverage split among 4 days because they want to have that jerk-off preview session on Saturday. Would you have preferred it be like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then have preview day on Sunday? Were you okay with the break in the action? I mean, I don't know how much. I watched like the Modern Masters draft. I watched like 2 rounds of them playing the Origins draft. And then I saw like half of Sunday's coverage, and that was
it. Yeah, I mean,
and I couldn't even tell you when those things happened.
My only fault is this. The way they handle it, I love Thursday, Friday, Sunday. I think that's fine. I think the break to the top four is a little long. I love Saturday preview day. What I would have liked, though, is I wake up and it's like, oh, well, you know what? At 10:30 at night, because it's East Coast, you'll find out. And I would have liked more of an entire celebration day. You know, I think we should have more spoilers on Saturday. I think that's great. Like, everybody's watching. It's PAX. Like, it's the best way to build excitement. And I really did like that they were previewing spoilers during coverage. I thought that was really cool. Too bad they were shitty spoilers. But, I get that they're trying to tease the set. And I thought it was really good. I just would like more. Like, you know, for people who are trying to watch 10 hours of it over the weekend or over a couple of days, it would have been nice to see a little more of that stuff peppered in. But it was good. I liked it. More ways to talk about new cards instead of on the mothership. And, you know, apparently, like, really good podcasts don't get spoiler cards to talk about, so.
Well, I don't really listen to really good podcasts, so I have no idea how to get them anyway.
Come on, give us a basic
spoiler. We got spoiler cards. We just got spoiler cards for the booze.
Ah, well, yeah, we are the premium site for Booze Cube spoiler cards. That's for sure. I don't know. Other than that, I mean, PAX was all right. I think they spent what $500,000 on a giant fucking metal tentacle smashing a fucking police car. Which, dude, all I could think of was, oh my god, that budget would hire 5 programmers from Magic Online right now. Right? Like, JR started breaking down the ROI on the marketing buzz spend on it, and I'm just like, I get it, it's PAX, okay, cool, you know, we gotta do neat stuff.
It looked cool, like, it looked cool. Before we get into that, like, it looks really cool, and like, hey, like, that grabs people's attention, that's fine. Now, aside from that, you guys have better places to spend your fucking money.
It's hard to say because...
They got a lot of marketing dollars out of that guy.
It's fine. I'm not saying don't do marketing because I get it. It's critical to what they were doing. But did you need, like, I don't know how much they spent, so it's all hearsay. But if they did spend a disproportionate amount of money that they wouldn't normally have spent, I really think that should have been put elsewhere. Just my opinion. You could have had frickin' Kenji running around in an Eldrazi Scion costume. You know, just, like, spewing out fucking spoiler cards on people and, like, yeah, new subscriber. Like, I'm sure that would have got you the same ROI. Like, you know?
I don't know. They were the talk of PAX. I think they were the talk of PAX with that thing. Quite a few photos and videos going around of it.
You know what, though? If the entire point of Zendikar or Battle for Zendikar is to get new players, well, then I'm sure it was well worth it, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people who picked up or will pick up this set because they were wow, this is a really cool game. Will Wheaton likes it, so I must play it. I must pray it? Why did I go like that? I don't know.
I must pray it. All right,
this isn't the accent cast. We're not going there. We're just not. All right, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like the weekend spoiler coverage section, unless anyone saw anything else interesting.
I don't know. I mean, you. It felt like it was pretty exciting. I felt like we were delivered upon in big ways. I only think the things I disliked about it were.
Did you just say delivered upon? Like, that's a new leaving term.
No, it's not.
Like. You have been delivered upon. Yes,
I didn't think I'd get such a big package.
That was accidentally awesome. You've been delivered upon.
Is there free shipping with this? Oh my god! See, that's, remember, it all ties in. Right? It all ties in. How do you see?
Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, TSG, but that was important.
What did you hate about PAX? Or did you not? What did you hate about PAX?
What did I hate about PAX?
I just
don't like that it's PAX. I think that's the problem.
I think that's the best.
It's so exclusive.
All right. If PAX is the largest gathering of game culture, don't you think it makes sense to have Magic there? It does to me. No?
Yeah, no, it should be there. And you were the one talking at the top of this segment about how much you disliked Will Wheaton. But that's PAX, man. That's what that is.
I don't dislike Will Wheaton. I think he was very good as Wesley Crusher on Star Trek. That's fine. But I don't know. I just don't think he was the right choice and how they did it. Like, that girl and him, like, going, hey, let's make some stupid jokes. Oh, Doug Beyer, come talk. And then Doug Beyer talks, and you're like, wow, well, look at all this useful information. Wow, he's awesome, great. And then, okay, bye, Doug Beyer. Well, stupid jokes about this. Oh, Mark Rosewater, come talk to us. Mark Rosewater's talking, and you're like, wow, he's fucking great. Shut the fuck up, Will Wheaton. I'm trying to listen to Mark Rosewater. And that's all I could think. So maybe it was, I didn't care who was it. In my opinion, Doug Beyer and Mark Rosewater do not need anyone to introduce them. And I think Mark Rosewater does a way better job of selling the set than Will Wheaton. So that's
well, part of that, oh, I feel, is because you're
you know who those people
product.
Are.
That could be.
But people watching a lot of PAX shit that aren't you are going to be like, who is this short nasally guy talking
Brian
right now?
Kibler, then. Fucking Brian Kibler is the perfect ambassador for Magic. He's good looking. He fucking wears a tiger hat. Like, put him out there. Boom. He get all those PAX fucking guys excited. What?
All them packs.
All them packs.
Oh my god. I am not good with words. I'm just saying, like, there's gotta be.
And I am good with ingesting text.
Okay. I get Will Wheaton is the god of game tabletop culture. So, in that regard, sure. Awesome. Good choice.
Yeah, you're
he just rubs me the wrong way. What the fuck?
What? Yeah.
I didn't realize he was rubbing you at all, but that's cool.
Yeah. If he was rubbing you the right way, like, we'd be upset that we weren't making more
sponsors. From an emotional standpoint. Not any other way. There you go. So, yeah, other than that, did you like what did you like about PAX? Or Worlds? What did you like about Worlds? Because PAX is its own other thing. Of course.
I enjoyed the formats this time around. I feel like they were well done. I liked, what else did I like?
Now, was it the last?
I liked their stage. I mean, hey, we didn't even talk about the fact that they had that live audience
that was
area.
Awesome.
That was pretty fucking sweet.
Also,
I think that's the
also,
kind of thing.
Huge shout out to myself and Rich Hagon. Rich Hagon, fucking. The only comment or tweet they read in the entire finals was Rich Hagon read my tweet. Boom! In the finals, aww, in the last match on air. So,
see, I was wondering how the hell that happened. Like, were you just like, oh, I love you, Rich Hagon? He's like, yeah, I love you too, Matty Studios.
No, I know. You know what it was? I'm very always aware when I'm watching coverage at the time delay of when they're looking at tweets and when they're filling air. So I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to say fucking bullshit. I'm going to say something. And it was funny because I was like, wow, this is really cool hearing the crowd laughing when they were making jokes or on the other floor because they had the players playing on a completely closed floor so they couldn't hear the audience. But it was really neat, and I was like, man, this is a really interesting dynamic. I love this. Like, coverage, this added a whole new thing of coverage. It felt a lot more exciting. So tweeted something along that, and then Hagon was just like, it was like a quiet moment in the final. It's like, oh, Matty Studios, we agree with you. It's great having the live excitement. And that is not Rich Hagon's voice.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds absolutely nothing like Rich Hagon.
But history class, me and Kevy first met in Vegas And the first very first person we took a picture with was fucking Rich Aegon.
Rich!
He's fucking Aegon! Oh my god, so, I mean, that's cool. That's kind of, like, neat.
He looked so afraid.
Oh god, he was scared
shitless,
dude. Yeah, some crazy, like, tattooed guy just, like, jumps on him, reeking of vodka, like, he's like, I love you too, guys. That was so good. Where's that picture? Someone find that picture and put it up.
I still have that picture somewhere.
Oh, do you? Oh, you gotta tweet it to him. Dude, please find the picture and tweet it to him. And say, we miss you, Rich. See, we...
Yo, this is Maddie Studios. Disregard the tattooed guy. Like, you talked about it.
Oh, fuck that shit. You know what? Hey, there's your challenge. You get uncovered. You get a tweet uncovered. Let's see if you can do it. I've actually had several tweets uncovered.
I'm proud of you. No, like, I really am proud of you. Like, I've had my ass on the mothership, but I've never had a tweet uncovered.
You probably did tweet everyone.
But it makes sense, though, like, between the two of us. Like, there's no reason for you to have your ass on the mothership, and there's no reason for me to have a tweet on coverage.
We all have talent.
Because if I tweeted something on coverage, it would be something that they couldn't say on coverage or, you know, or show a picture of my penis or whatever. Like, you have relevant shit to say about the game. I show parts of my body on the internet that I it's your niche, it's my niche. I think we both hit our trophy.
There you go. You talk about tropes, that's my trope. There's your trope, man. The dick showing pick, dude. TSG, what is your travels like in the land of PPTQs? Because
man, I went
that was
about...
a beautiful
well, PPTQs, and we came up with dick pics. I thought there was a little hidden segue there.
Yeah. I went about as deep as you can go on these things to try to travel far and wide to get a better temperature of what these things are like. And now, if you remember from the cast last week, I talked briefly about how there was a store in the city in San Francisco that had kind of purchased the ability to run other stores' tournaments this current season. Right. And it is being received with mixed reviews. The guy has good intentions, but... it's very blatant, you know, monopoly of the players and the space and all these things. And it was once again a fucking sauna in that store on Saturday. My God, were we all sweating our balls off. As, like, one store doesn't have proper air conditioning, and then the pizza place that they put the adjacent players in has a legit giant oven in it cooking pizza at fucking 10 in the morning.
That is what you want to play in right there. Maybe in January in Canada. Maybe.
Yeah. That sounds like it would be fine under those specific circumstances, but where I was, it was not so great. But, you know, poking around the standard format, I'm finally becoming a little clearer on what's good, what's obviously bad. I learned that a lot this weekend, and kind of in between. And I feel, you know, maybe this is a broken record at this point, but Abzan still has the most modal cards. It's like playing Druid in Hearthstone. It's so nice. Because all of your cards could do, like, four different things, and they're all generally all very
good.
You
always have an answer. That's Abzan.
Yeah, and you can find card advantage, and your threats are bigger. Like, you're coming at it from, like, every possible angle, which is really impressive. And so I played that on Saturday, ended up 5-2, ninth place again out of 80 people, losing to the guy that eventually won the whole thing, which was nice. He was playing the Jeskai deck, which originally I wasn't too fond of, but I think it's actually the second most modal deck in Standard right now. Soulfire Grandmaster actually does a whole lot of business.
Love
which can
guy.
Be okay. Yeah, well,
oh, come on.
Yeah,
the Jeskai deck with Burn, oh man, he's dope. And you get to buy back your spells. I think he's not as good as Tasker, but I guess it's a fine card.
Well, ironically, I would think that Soulfire Grandmaster right now in Standard is actually better than Tasker, because incidental life gain for small amounts can really win a lot of these matches. When you've got still a lot of red decks in the field, you've got a lot of mirror matches that can kind of be broken by who has the most life points to give in a match. So I like that card quite a bit. And as much as I thought that the combination of Lightning Strikes plus Mantis Riders plus Soulfire Grandmasters wasn't going to have enough gas to get there. You are still playing blue, so you get to play some number of Dig Through Times. And some people play Anticipate, some people play Jace, some people might even play a couple Treasure Cruises.
Well,
I like that.
Tell me something, because this is what I don't understand. Why doesn't anyone play Treasure Cruise anymore? That card I thought was like busted. Like, but I don't see it anywhere. Didn't see it at Worlds.
What?
Right? Nobody was playing Cruz.
Generally, for the Jeskai decks, it's kind of a matter of time. You're not dumping that much stuff in your yard to really go cruising, but you still can. I mean, if you think about it, they don't really have a one drop. They have a two drop. They have a few burn spells. I mean, they have more permanence these days than they do spells. It's not like the days of Jeskai Ascendancy when it was all spells.
I think they rely on Jace now. He's like your cruise slot, and he's a creature, and he's a looter.
Did you say your cruise slot?
No, cruise slot. Yes. Hey, man, you do what you want in your cruises. That's fine. I heard it didn't go well for the last Magic cruise you were on. Oh!
There were highs and there were lows.
Man, fighting words!
We could relive those another time. So, no, it was interesting. You know, there were 80 players there in the city on Saturday, and it was balls fucking hot, and at least I left with slightly balls more hot dollars in store credit than I arrived with, so it wasn't
you
a complete
have no
mistake.
Idea what balls hot is until you have been to Rich Crest.
You need a new definition of temperature. There's 100 degrees, and then there is Crest.
I need a new... Okay.
Just saying. Use the terminology, man.
So yeah, if you're one of those standard players out there that are itching to know what's viable in this current environment, those are my feelings on it, and I stand by those feelings. But my idiot former roommates convinced me that to play some fucking red-blue fucking prowess deck when I was the sole survivor that wanted to drive to Elk Grove, which is 90 minutes from where I live, and it would have been very, very far away from where those guys lived. And there was some talk about trying to do some full-blown weekends, and I was like, hey, if we're going to play these things, like, let's go hard, let's fucking qualify, let's get this shit done right. And a lot of people fucking pushed out on me on this, and I was very disappointed about it. So it was just me. I drove to Sacramento's suburb on Sunday to play a list that had Monastery Swift Spear, Abbot of Carol Keep, Elusive Spellfist, and, like, a bunch of herpy-derpy draw cards. Wow. Draw spells, like Magmatic Insight, Tormented Voice. That deck played 4 Treasure Cruise, 4 Jace. I don't know, and some bad, bad burn spells. Yeah, I ended up 3-3, and it was a gigantic waste of my time. But I went to something that was very, very different. So you go to the city, it is fucking... There's no real estate. Everything is fucking jam-packed into each other. I fucking hate San Francisco. I will say it as many times as I possibly can. And then you drive to, you know, a place where across the street from this commercial complex that you're playing in is what was supposed to be a shopping mall that was abandoned 3 years ago because of the recession, and there's no one building anything there. And instead, these guys have a fairly large store space, well-air-conditioned, well-lit, plenty of TVs, plenty of snack food, and they actually bus in pizza because there's no food around their place. So congratulations to the boys at Versus Tournament Gaming is what they call their store.
That's high-level brand name right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to hire those guys.
The irony is that the store I played at the day before in San Francisco was just called Versus Gaming.
Wow. So they're not – that's such a good name. They're already knocking off the competition. Damn, bitches.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I love
it. But the PPTQ scene it's interesting. There are other grinders. There were probably like half a dozen guys that I saw in the city on a Saturday that I also happened to see in Elk Grove, you know, 2 hours or whatever away on a Sunday. And yeah, I think I'm going to take a month off from doing this. I'm actually going to not play these tournaments for a little while. Actually, probably not even get an FNM for a little while now that we're back to 25-cent promos and I'm pretty spent on Origins. And I'll just wait for Battle of Zendikar to come out and save some Skrill and wait up for
come
that
on,
shit.
Come on, you're playing Standard?
You got to save up for TP.
Yes.
You got to save up for TP.
I want to know if TSG is going to play a new Standard.
I will definitely have to play it for the rest of the PPTQ season. I don't know if I'm going to, like, excitedly be FNMing it every single weekend, but I feel like I have a fairly good grasp on Standard right now, and everybody always should get excited when the fall set gets released and there's a rotation, because it's a time for everyone to brew. Everyone's new deck ideas are out there. The great Abzan Beast may be dead. Elspeth will be no more. Who knows what decks will come out of the fire.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
You guys talk so much all the time about you fucking love Modern, and all you want to do is never build a new deck and just play the same crap.
That's Kevin.
We have sat here for weeks and talked about how you just want to buy your deck and be done with it.
And
yet Standard is such a robust environment right now. People are playing a lot of decks for fun. That's the nice thing about this PPTQ environment is, cities 2 hours away, I watched different guys be super excited about their green-white Starfield of Nyx decks. And all of these interesting blue-black control decks and just stuff out there to have fun with. This Standard environment is pretty robust right now. It's pretty rich. I do think there are clear favorites. But there's plenty of fun to be had. And come October, it's a whole new world.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love brewing.
I just don't
have time. That's what it comes down to me. But so let's talk quickly. Apparently, Josh is trying to make you a 100% proxy cube because you are scared of the next heavy meta cubitational. Is that it? You're having second thoughts now. You're like, hold on a minute.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. Those are like, this shit is an awesome
because
idea.
I'm just gonna say this. If this is happening, he doesn't have to necessarily 100% proxy the legitimate look of the card. He could put any art in the cards. And so I think this is a great opportunity to have a certain, maybe 10 cards in your cube be like, I don't know, a contest prize or something maybe upcoming in the future, you know, like, hey, what card do you want? Delver Secrets? No problem. We're going to put your Durf artwork as Delver Secrets. How sick would that?
We'll see how it goes. Josh and I have been talking for a while now about this project because it is quite a large undertaking, one that I didn't really realize how big of a deal was going to be when it first started. Now, someone, almost a year ago.
Give us the genesis of this, which is, I think is what you're doing.
I was literally.
That's exactly what you're doing. Captain Obvious strikes again.
I think is what you're doing.
Yeah!
You know those words coming out of your mouth where you're explaining this story? Could you explain the story in more detail?
Well, I was trying to say, like, I want to hear everything about this.
Naming things you can see.
I love lamp. I love lamp. I love lamp.
I love this pool. All right.
But for real, I didn't know anything about this till today on Twitter, so I want to know everything about it.
Well, I mean, this is still kind of the beginning overall, and there's been rumble. The whole fucking thing's connected. So about a year ago, before I really knew Josh, I had seen someone post on one of the Cube Reddit threads about how they had printed a proxy cube and it had turned out really well, and they had used one of those, you know, Chinese print shops. And I was like, okay, well, that's pretty sketchy, and I don't think that's the road I want to go down. And I know Josh had done good work, and I didn't know him personally. And I messaged him and was like, hey, you know, what does something like this really take? I'd love to not have to bring my stupidly expensive cube to events that I want to engage in the public with and let anyone sit down and play. Because I've gotten to this place right now where it's like, if half the people in the draft aren't people that I know really well that can also look out for cards, it's just kind of a foolish opportunity. And, you know, who knows? Someone might get drunk. Someone might spill something. Someone might misplace something. We've had a couple cards become casualty to chair legs over the years, and heaven forbid it happened to an extremely expensive one. So I mentioned it to Josh kind of offhand, thinking it wasn't a big deal. He messaged me back telling me, like, you know, that first of all, that shit is verboten. Don't go to one of these Chinese websites. You're going to get everybody in trouble, and that's not the way we do business here anyway. And when I say business, we don't even do that either. You know, this is all on the up and up as far as making proxies. And he told me that the process that he goes through is much more laborious. It ends up with a great product, but you're not, you know, mass printing anything. And because of that, it would take months to be able to put together an entire cube entirely of proxies. And kind of the back and forth start a little bit more where it's like, well, you know, why don't you do these 20 cards, these 40 cards, you know, pick a price ceiling that you're willing to go to on replacements. And for me, it was like, well, I want the consistency. I want the feel to be the same. I don't want it to be like, oh, well, that's the proxy. That's not the proxy. Having to determine what's real and what's fake. And we kind of left it alone for a long time just because of how overwhelming the project was. And recently I kind of brought it back up to him again. It was like, you know, hey, I've got the Starseed Invitational coming up in December that I want to go to and be able to play at all the time. Like, you know, he'd been to Vegas. We played, you know, at the house there. You know, I left my entire collection with him and Robot at the house was like, okay, guys, I gotta, you know, when Kevy tapped out of the house party, I was like, okay, I gotta go to this. You guys draft. Here's my baby. And I think that Josh kind of took that to heart, where it's like, you know, that's a lot of trust. That's just a lot of risk for anyone to have to take. We won't want to do this. And my whole goal, especially with the Cube community, is I want to be inclusive and I want to be able to play with people and I don't want to have that fear. So Josh was like, you know what? It's going to take a long time. There's a lot of stuff to do, but I think I can make it happen. And I was like, that's insane. So hopefully through finding him some resources and getting him the supplies, fingers crossed.
The biggest thing Josh needs is your shitty foils. Just any random jank foils you have, send him his way. I know I'm going to go look through my collection, see what I can send him.
Yeah, absolutely. Make
because that's...
Yes, so...
What do we need? 600?
The goal is 630 cards, all proxied.
I like it.
Aww.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. Hopefully I can make the changes from Zendikar before he gets to those particular cards, so that at least the cube will be locked for, like, through 2015. It'll be kind of a nice collection up until that point. But, yeah, Josh, the proxy guy... You're insane, man. I love you so much. Cheers. It's actually been,
that guy
actually
been
a, I mean,
a crazy,
here's
a, crazy.
Here's the thing: like, do you, for, you don't need to actually proxy every card, do you?
It's cleaner that way.
Well, that's
man.
The whole point.
I was just thinking, like, yeah, because some of the cheaper cards. Well, actually, you're, yeah, it's awful. Never mind. It's probably better to do it that way.
I mean, it's going to be laughably funny to proxy a 50-cent card. I mean, there's probably one in there somewhere. But it's about. Yeah. It's about doing the whole thing.
Like,
and then,
it's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. I do like your expansion symbol. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, I'm glad he got to have fun with that. That was something we hadn't really discussed, and it was literally this morning I woke up to a flurry of, oh, I could make fun of you with this way tweets, and it was like, oh, we'll do something nice. No, but it's, you know, to kind of piggyback on the generosity of this week, I also reached out to KYT, and he's going to be supplying me with some sleeves for said cube from Face-to-Face Games. Ooh, so
beautiful.
Nice, nice.
It'll be all Face-to-Face logos on the back. And also, Scott Sign and Blood sending over a little bit of a care package. So I finally have a fucking Sign and Blood pad, because I missed all the swag that he was giving away in Vegas to everybody. Because I'm the idiot who goes and plays Thoughtseize at a competitive Magic event and doesn't have pen and paper, so I'm just like, okay, I'm going to remember those. Go.
Nice.
Like, as annoying as it is to be the guy that writes down, like, I like someone who writes down all of the cards and then picks one and then crosses it off the list they just wrote.
Yeah, that's a little insane.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I write down all the cards. Oh, not the one I'm going to take.
Yeah. People
yeah, as soon as you said writes down everything and then crosses off, I was like, okay, he's not talking about me. All right, we're all right.
No, no,
I mean, it makes sense that people write down all the cards. Even like the best is like, let's say they thought sees you and you have like one land, two spells, and they still write down the land, and then like they'll forget to cross it off when you play it the next turn, and they don't know what's going on anymore. Ugh. It's such a nightmare. Anyway, but I'm the idiot who doesn't write anything down. Like, I turn one thought sees somebody, I'm like, okay, he's got a 2-drop, 2 4-drops, and a 5. And one of them is important. All right, go ahead. Yeah, I'll figure it out as I go.
No wonder you're no good at magic.
Yeah, I'm fucking terrible. I never write anything down.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? You have too much playtime. It's probably second nature to you. You're just like, yeah, I know what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I'm going to beat you.
To be fair, like, I could probably tell you the cards that were in my opponent's hand from the very last time I thought sees somebody on Saturday. Because, yeah, he had kept a 2-lander, and it was a Jace, 2 Mantis Riders, a Stoke the Flames. See, I forgot the last card. Anyway, I took his Jace, and then he never drew a third land, and then he, like, chewed me out for 30 seconds that he fucking would have rolled me if he drew a third land, and I was like, oh, that's really weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, I just kind of played a Fleece Mane Lion into an Anafenza and killed you, but yeah, whatever. It's a great
magic
game.
Magic, awesome! Magic, magic, go, go, Fleece Mane. All right, let's...
Magic, go, go.
Oh, by the way, huge shout out to Saito. If you follow his tweets on Twitter, sometimes he gets drunk at night and he takes pictures of himself with a full black hoodie on, but another hoodie over it where he has no face, and he hides in elevators and scares young children. You should follow his tweets. It's actually funny. Am I following Saito, or am I following some just random Japanese guy? That I don't know.
I think you are.
Like,
you are.
Just like wrong Saito. I think it is. He throws magic cards. All right, let's. I believe it is time for Hole of Sorts. The whole of Twitter. Now, I want to say huge shout out to a lot of new guys. I see a lot of new people in the feed. I see a lot of new heavy metal listeners. So huge shout out to all you new fans. That is awesome. I love when you guys interact with the whole. Wow, that is fucking horrible. I should not say this shit. I should just not talk anymore. I should just... He just has so much joy when I fuck up. All right, let's go. KYT says, what a fucking noob. Yes, thanks. That is in reference to me logging in with the wrong email address. You are the man. All right, so BoozCube, boom, we're jumping in. You've lost your arms in an accident, Kevy. Maybe a train accident, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And you have to play Magic with your dick. What modern deck is easiest to pilot? I would say they're all...
It's got to be like blue-black control, right? Because it's just like...
Yeah, I was going to say like some sort of Lango or just Drago.
How do you... I was going to say affinities, because you just blow your load on the first turn and then you ain't got to do anything anymore.
That's actually pretty true, too. Like, I hadn't thought of that. Like, I could still be trying to teach my dick to draw a card every fucking turn and like... you know, counterspell or whatever. But like, yeah, affinity's cool because you could do it all at once. You'd be like, all right, I can get this down, and I don't. Oh wait, there it is over there. I'm gonna tap this, and we're done. Maybe infect. Infect would probably be better for me.
That's wait. Is that some inside joke there? How exactly are you drawing cards? Like mechanically? Like this?
Become a mess. Yes.
You
hit it on that. Like, there's going to be a lot of judge calls, obviously, but, you know, whatever. Like, if we got to fucking ride this out, like, I'm at a distinct advantage to you guys. I should probably start playing blue. I can draw cards better than you guys can because I've got a metal ring in the end of my deck. So I can slap the top of my deck, and chances are one of the cards is going to flip over. Like, you guys, unless you're blessed with a fucking amazing cock, like... it's going to take something to happen for you to flip a card over. Like, you might have to have, you know, something to stick your cock to the card and then try to flip it over. But, like, I can just slam mine into the deck and, like, maybe I get, you know, keep getting called for drawing.
He's got a slammer on the end.
That's why.
Yeah. It's like playing.
That's what I say. He's got a slammer.
I was going to say Dredge would be the easiest deck. You just knock your whole fucking... deck into the graveyard. All right, let's see what I got. I don't know.
I still feel like you're getting a lot of judge calls there, man. Because, you know,
the strategy is going to rack up a few judge calls.
You're going to be able to use the tip of your cock to pick that many cards to
draw. Wait, like, I'm mulliganing to six. Let me just scry one. Zip. Whoa.
Now, when you're doing it, are you standing at the table? Are you kind of like crouch squatting? Are you still doing some sitting position?
However you want to.
I mean,
it's just really weird. I remember, like, at the Fate Reforged pre-release, there was a guy who had like hurt his back, so he couldn't sit for any of the matches. So each of his opponents, he was like standing, and the guy was like almost 6 foot. So it was really awkward to be like sitting at a table, pretty much staring at a guy's junk, and then having to play Magic against him, and then keep looking up. Like,
yo.
Are we good here? What are you gonna do?
He's like, you just wait. You just wait, son. I'm about to go off. What? Let's get off this, because this is just a horrible, horrible topic to start with. I don't know. I don't think there's a right way to play this deck, or with your dick. I think it's just bad. What else we got? Alright, Jim Castle Frost asks, are we Team Eldrazi or Team Zendikar? Jeez, I don't know.
Gotta be Eldrazi. Team Zendikar, man.
Eldrazi is fuck!
I mean...
I'd rather go on an expedition than have all my shit annihilated.
Yeah, but then you're an ally, right? Isn't that? I don't want to be an ally.
But who doesn't like getting their deck ingested?
That's true.
Yep. Everybody likes getting their deck ingested. I am proud of you, David. That was beautiful.
I think I gotta go team up.
Poetry.
Because I just need lasting change. Enough of these allies kicking ass. Oh my god. Exemet, lengthy Zemet. Or X Emmett. Yeah, he's like, oh my god, that's not how you say my name. Would you rather would you rather change gender every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between babies and muffins? What the fuck? Okay, so
that is That is the best Twitter hole question ever. It makes no sense, but that is the best Twitter hole question ever.
Wait, okay.
Change gender every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between babies and muffins. That is okay. Fucking...
No. It is. You think it's funny at first, but...
No gender sneezy. I'm team gender sneezy, because, I mean, fine.
I mean, you're about to have a baby. You don't want to fucking mess that up, man.
Depends on how much you like muffins, I feel like.
You carry around a pocket full of pepper, and you can use this to your advantage. Like, you can flip your fucking planeswalker at any time, basically.
Oh, my God. Could you just see that, hun? Why are you putting a diaper on the chocolate double triple chocolate muffins?
Hey, bitch, don't call me hood! This shit's gonna go down! And then you just reach into your pocket.
I think that's the least of your worries. It's when you start chewing on a baby. That's when things
Why
are gonna really, really
crying
start
at me. And what happened to the chocolate in this muffin?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, my choice seems to be a lot more controllable. Like, you can't just.
I'm in agreement. You can force yourself to sneeze. You are stuck in a weird situation if you confuse babies and muffins.
I don't know, man. Like.
Or you just go on like a strict like
no muffin diet. Yeah, you
nope.
just don't eat muffins. Like I think it's not like, as easy as you, like it's not that simple.
I would. It's not even just muffins. Like if that were a problem, that I don't know how you would find out that you have that problem. I mean, you'd probably be in jail
because
you just ran to chew on a child. And then they're like, "Oh, what the fuck is wrong with you?" And you're like, "I thought it was a muffin." Like, you're going to prison.
No.
So.
See, you guys are approaching it wrong. I think the first encounter, like, if this suddenly activated, I think the first thing you're going to do is you're going to be at like Starbucks and you're going to be like, "Why the fuck are those babies in the fucking case?" You like be freaking out, like, but you're not going to eat them.
Yeah, but see, the problem is like, you're gonna fucking, like, you might have that experience. I might show up to drop my kid off at preschool and there's just a bunch of donuts laying around.
I don't think, yeah, but the donuts would be walking around. I think I would choose the babies and donuts because, like, if I see a muffin bouncing around.
You can't. And then how far off is it if they're like, all right, fine, okay, babies are muffins. And then suddenly, like, you know, kittens are donuts and fucking.
Dogs and cats are living together.
I'd much rather just be able to fucking do the gender sneeze and be all right.
I think that I don't think you guys have seen the negatives of that. I think there's a lot of negatives. What if you're fucking your wife and then all of a sudden it's like sneeze, bam, girl on girl action? Actually, that's not bad.
What's bad about that?
Could be.
I don't understand. Like, worst case scenario, you're like, you're, you know, hanging out as a woman. You find some lesbian, and then like, you all of a sudden got a wiener, and she's just like, "Oh, what the fuck is that?" You're like, hold on, let me stare at the sun. I'm out of pepper. Let me stare at the sun. Hold on, I'll change back. Like, worst case scenario, but you're not going to prison for like involuntary manslaughter because you ate a baby.
I don't know. I don't think maybe you're right. This is a hard question. This is a 50-50 split. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know how 50-50 is split. Eating babies or accidentally...
Maybe I have a higher tolerance for training myself to recognize a moving muffin versus a non-moving muffin. Although, here's the question. What it's saying is I can't tell the difference between a baby and a muffin, but it's not saying like I'm hallucinogenically seeing like a muffin with a diaper on it. So maybe, to me, just... You ask me, what is this? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it a baby or a muffin? Like, maybe it's just...
No, you just can't tell the difference. That's why you keep assuming that you're going to see these muffins walking around the playground in fucking, you know, clothes and, like, hanging out on the swings and shit like that. No, you can't tell the difference. You might just think it's a muffin and eat it and find out it's a baby. Like,
I don't live in the crash. I don't eat muffins that are randomly sitting on, like, play swings and shit. I know better.
Don't fucking judge me.
Don't you judge the crest. We have a magical muffin lady, and she goes around and drops them off.
If I walk past a swing and there's a full muffin on it, like, it's not like nobody's taking any bites out of it. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's
paper
breakfast.
On or paper off? Wrap? If it has no wrapper, do you eat it?
I absolutely refuse to answer this question because I might end up on some sort of weird fucking, like, Megan's Law page if I answer.
It's criminal. It's incriminating. All right. I'm not even going to ask TSG this question because I don't think he has any.
It really depends on how much you like muffins.
That's what I was saying. Like, what if you hate muffins?
I think the more you like muffins, the more dangerous this becomes.
What if you're allergic to muffins? I think this question is easy then. You just don't get the fucking muffin baby away from me, man. What if you just train yourself to just say muffin baby?
Fuck it.
Muffin baby, so then you can't get it wrong. It's like, hey, would you like a bite of this muffin baby? Fuck no, I don't eat babies, bitch. Like, it's just a straight, it's a trainable thing. I cannot train myself to sneeze. So, I don't know. Although I did like,
you don't have to train yourself. You just throw the pepper in your face. That's what the pocket.
The pepper pocket gender switcher. Oh, my goodness.
The pepper pocket gender
everybody, switcher. We should sell those right now on fucking late night television with the Aggie. All right. He's got a follow-up question. Do you miss Annihilator, or do you think the new Ulamog induces the true fear of an Eldrazi Titan should? I miss Annihilator because it was really fucking epically Vorthos-y, but I sure as hell don't want to play against it. So, I don't know. It's so hard to judge Ulamog because I got to see what it plays like to me.
Miss Annihilator because that reminds me of the Eldrazi. I don't miss Annihilator in the regard where it's like it's super fucking powerful.
David?
Yeah. I agree. As a mechanic, like, it's just way too overpowering, but as far as the Eldrazi are concerned, like, that's kind of what makes them such a, like, awe-inspiring, fear-inducing, titanic creature that, you know, trumps anything else out there. So I don't think the new Ulamog is nearly as, frightening as the older Ulamog.
I don't think a lot of us even, I mean, I can vaguely remember when Emrakul was spoiled, and we were like, 15-15 for what? Like, it was just mind-blowing, and, like, this Ulamog is like, 10-10. So, I don't know. I think they've lost a lot of that, oh, it's so special. I think they should have juiced him a little more. Sorry. He needs more steroids. But Keith Morris has a good question for us. KMorris3000, follow him on Twitter. He says, what is your favorite dinosaur, and how much would you pay to own one as a pet? That's a good one.
Favorite dinosaur? That's kind of hard.
Dude, this is so easy. Denver the Last Dinosaur. It's my favorite dinosaur. He could skateboard.
Oh, you got super
he could skateboard.
Super.
Dude.
I was going to hold it for what? I was holding it for direction.
But no, Denver is the best. He not only could pseudo speak to you, he wore fucking human clothes. And he could skateboard. He's fucking a decent skateboarder. Oh, shit.
I don't know whether is it
decent.
He was the last one. Do you know much? You know much fucking like he's so rare. It's like better than the fucking.
Do you know how much he's worth?
It's like worth more than a foil steam vent, man.
Yeah, dude, well, you could sell that motherfucker.
I want the baby from that dinosaur show.
Oh, not the mama. Well, you know what? You better not have that first question because you might think he's a muffin and eat his ass.
Whatever, he's my dinosaur.
Come here, I want to have a bite of you.
It's okay, because it's your dog.
Hey, oh, yeah, wow. So are we going to bring that up? Are you allowed to eat your own dog? That is so not where we're going. Is it? Is it really? Come on.
That is so funny.
I don't think that's where he was going with that.
You are either too old or,
what, do young people eat their dogs? I just, like, I don't know what's hip anymore. What the fuck is
that? That was a movie reference.
Well, fuck you guys. Do you know what movie that's from?
So in answer to TSG, yes, he's
well,
too old.
Fuck you guys. Oh.
He's too old.
I had sex last night with a girl. With a girl. What the hell did you do? Kill a cheetah?
Oh my god, we're just randomly quoting old movies. All right.
That's kind of what we do now.
I know. It's actually a much better show. TSG, dinosaur, what's your favorite? T-Rex? You like a Diplodocus?
It's tough to say. Those were both really good choices. I mean, I do remember, I can't remember, what was the main character on Dinosaur's name?
Stan.
What was his name?
Wasn't it Stan?
No, I don't
think. Or Earl. I think it was Earl
God.
Sinclair.
Holy shit! Earl Sinclair, yeah. Nicely done.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised.
Well, why? Just because, like, you just want him as a pet?
He's kind of like an old fucking...
I was just trying to remember his name. I don't think that's my dinosaur of choice, but thanks, guys.
Well, that's what the question we ask, so when you go to that...
Oh, I'm sorry.
that's like dinner conversation at like Thanksgiving, you know, when you're like uncle's like, hey man, I used to like do weird shit in the 70s and like I experimented with like other guys, and then you're like, what? And he's like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that conversation was off topic. Like, what the fuck was that? I'm just saying, that's, oh god, give me a muffin right now. I think your favorite dinosaur is a fucking...
Give me a muffin.
It's gotta be the cheese eating T-Rex.
Oh, whoa! Eat your cheese nerds.
Oh,
your cheese nerds!
Shit! he won that one. I didn't even know what you would pay for that, because apparently we're so stupid we can't get.
It's too many colors. We can't actually get it.
The print shop is like, there's colors in there. We don't do that. So we're like, we're fucking idiots. It's not like one of us is a designer or anything that could like fix that shit. All right. So Frankie Richards.
I didn't get to pick a dinosaur.
Oh, you didn't? There I go.
No, I think it was his name, Grimlock.
Oh,
the fucking
wow.
Transformable dinosaur.
God, I had the worst fucking answer. I thought I was going to own this one. Jeez.
Nah.
I don't know whether that counts because it's more of a machine.
It's a dinosaur. Excuse me, sir.
Is it a dinobot? Ah.
I mean, I guess that's, they didn't say it was like an organic.
The word organic was not in that question. I think it's a...
Yeah. Plus, I think his name's Grimlock, so I can't really say anything.
Mine's not really fair because I didn't like actually do the research. I think his name's Grimlock, but I couldn't be wrong.
You don't know all five of them?
Yeah.
Grimlock, Slag, Sweet,
nope.
Sweet. Sweet, I don't remember the other one. Cheech and Chong.
Apparently you don't remember them either.
Hey, come on. You don't remember all of them?
You don't know all the fucking names?
Yeah, you don't know all the names? There's fucking five of them. The one I said, a different one, and then I'll screw up the third one and bow out.
God damn it. Fuck, man. I couldn't remember the other two. All right. We totally bombed because we probably edited it because it was so bad. Frankie Richards' first question. But his next question is probably decent. apparently we share an elevator with an Eldrazi. What small talk do you attempt to break the awkwardness?
I'd probably ask what they use to moisturize their tentacles.
Who farted?
Hey, well, you know, if it was them, you wouldn't be asking that question. You would have been annihilated.
What? Still a good opener.
I would be where? Asking, like, how does ingest work, and what types of things do you ingest? Because...
No, where can I join? Where can I join?
I don't know. The size of an Eldrazi, what kind of elevator am I in?
If there's an Eldrazi just chilling in an elevator, he's got a couple minutes. Like, if he's going to fit in there, he's got a couple minutes. You know, or not even a couple minutes. Like, yeah, a solid
we're
minute.
We're all just small talk. He's fucking networking.
Yeah. Yeah, be like, oh, hey, man, where, I've seen your kind around, like, where can I join? Like,
how do you get one of those gigs?
It's like the fucking Masons, like, they have those stickers that say, like, you know, to be one, ask one. I feel like the Eldrazi is the same shit. Like, fucking, just be like, oh, hey, man, how can I get in on your shit? And he's like, well, we can start you at the ground floor. Like, you're not going to be, like, an Eldrazi Titan like I am. He's like, you could be one of these fucking drones or scions. I'm like, all right, I'll be cool with that. And I'm just going to join their team because I feel like they're
going
to win.
And I think I would just be like, I'd be like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's probably just be like, blah, blah, blah. And somehow it drives the language. And I'm like, man,
take that dick out of your mouth and talk to me like an adult.
I don't know. I think I would be like, that Umug, what a fucking bitch.
Wait. We have to address that statement.
I did not make it. I did not make it that time.
Take a dick out of your mouth and talk to me like an adult? What the fuck children are you talking to?
These little drowsy children. His tentacles. I'm sure they stick their tentacles everywhere.
Got dicks all up in their mouths when they're talking.
Oh, that's the best TSG quote that has ever happened on this podcast.
Wow, that is a high standard.
Why, am I the only one that caught that? That these the the children that TSG are talking to have dicks in their mouths?
You know, it's odd. We're talking about Eldrazi, not children, but maybe that's another question we'll get to. You can't tell the difference between children and Eldrazi. I don't even know. I'm going to just keep going because that's what we do.
Yet another episode that can't make it on Manor.
or at least Maddie, don't make that as the banner.
Wait, I can't put Emrakul in a fucking elevator with a giant penis in his head?
Well, it's gotta be something like Muffin Eldrazi.
No,
adult?
You know what the banner's gonna be? It's gonna be a cute little baby and a muffin with an X over it. That's just gonna muffin baby, and the baby's gonna be like, why? Okay, so Budgie Hot Fuzz asks us if you were an Eldrazi, how many tentacles would you need and why? I would need at least 15 tentacles. And because 14 isn't enough. What about you? Oh my god, dead silence. Oh my god.
I'm stumped. I'm gonna price is right every math.
We need a calculator on this? How many tentacles would you need? You need a calculator. That's horrible.
what math equation is going to be divide this? Like per pound or
I cast my dick rebound.
I mean, I guess six is good. I don't know. How many do you really need?
It only comes down to this. What do these tentacles do? Are they just a tentacle? I don't need any of that.
What is the original question? Because I was peeing.
Well, then you need at least one tentacle.
He was using his one tentacle.
Yeah. You've already answered it. You've already answered.
One's all you need.
You know what? I'm not even going to waste time on that. I'm going to keep moving. There's too many good ones we're already so deep in Eldrazi tentacles and baby mushrooms, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Baby mushrooms.
You see what's happening now? You see, the Eldrazi, they spread, and see what's happening right now is it's already gone in Maddie's head. They've already gone from muffins to mushrooms.
Oh, man.
They're real soon, they're going to start taking over all his food, and he's just like, whatever, I eat babies, get over it. Fucking, like, that's what I do.
I probably am. All right, Bruce the Wild Retweeter asks us, what is the centerpiece of your trophy room? If you don't have a trophy room, what would you put in it? What would you put in it?
My trophy room is this fucking bar, and the centerpiece has got to be fucking, you know, the picture of me real big behind the bar. Like the David gave to me for fucking my birthday. It just, you know, the picture of me is a token, like Tybalt. Yeah, it's huge, and it looks like me, sort of, and it's supposed to be me, and that's the centerpiece. Like, I don't really have any accomplishments in my life. I mean, you know, I have lots of accomplishments in my life.
Wow, you just rate your life really high. You're just like, yeah, well, you know, this illustration that, like, a ninja made of me.
What I was getting to is, like, I got a lot of accomplishments in my life, but,
not
like
you talk about it.
Those, I don't have trophies of them. I mean, I guess, you know, they're living trophies. Like, I've got my son. He's one of my greatest accomplishments. He's running around. Maddie's going to think he's a fucking muffin or a mushroom at this point. And by the end of the night, he's going to think he's a fucking chicken leg. I've got my fucking gorgeous wife. But yet again, Maddie's going to think that, like, oh, well, maybe that's just, you know, an older chicken leg or a mushroom.
No, that's the thing that makes
muffins. Than the last one.
He's just going to think that it's you and you just sneeze.
Why are you touching me like this? Oh, sorry.
but to get back to the other thing, I think in my trophy room, my trophy room, the centerpiece is a giant poster of me.
All right, David, grappling trophy?
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, I know, right? The hardest question on Earth. David, what do you got? Trophy, grappling? What do we have?
I don't have any actually grappling trophies. I have a number of trophies. The one time I did a Destruction Derby, I have a trophy from that. But I'm going to have to say it's got to be the podcast champion trophy. I'm kind of proud of that shit. Kind of proud of that shit.
That Kraken bottle and, trophy. What?
Yeah. And I'm dusting a spot because I know that come GP Crest, there's going to be another trophy up there.
Oh, is it going to be a dildo? That has to be the fucking all dusty, like a dusty dildo.
I don't, I mean.
I haven't met a butt plug for
someone
sure.
Someone order that.
No, literally.
Literally, it's just going to be like a trophy base that says whatever it needs to say, like GP Grest fucking whatever fucking champion. And then like rather than like a Kraken model on top, it just needs to be like a, you know, like a hard rock candy, like fucking clear hard rock candy. So it just looks like a big giant fucking chunk of meth. And I think that needs to be the GP Crest trophy.
Oh my god.
And then you can lick it. You can lick it and get high.
Now that's the first trophy that is actually useful. What the fuck? Oh my god.
How come your whole trophy case is like, you know, encased behind glass, but this one's got its own little door that you can get to, and it looks kind of pathetic at this point because it's starting to sag in one direction. Well, as I can lick this one, and it gives me power.
And you say I'm weird because I eat baby muffins. Like, what the fuck?
I would much rather be a tweaker than eat baby muffins.
And then
muffins.
You sneeze and switch bodies. TSG, what is in your trophy room?
Yes!
That's hard to say. Your cube? I mean, I don't have a lot of...
I think the cube is the ultimate
trophy. That's not bad. That's not bad. I think that... I mean, I've got some stuff in my living room that I consider to be trophy-esque in terms of stuff I got from meeting people. So like, I have like a signed copy of Shaun of the Dead that's signed by Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and what's his name?
This question is like, I get to tell you how good I am.
and then I've got my Star Trek signed by Brent Spiner.
Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much exactly what you're saying there.
No, come on. I would have Data, like a fully like articulate like Data. That would be awesome.
No, so I've got some stuff that if I meet people, I've got them to sign things. I've got some lessers around. I mean, I don't know.
I'd fly to Australia and I would like break into Mildy Vane's house and I would steal that fucking artwork he had everybody sign, and that would be in my trophy room because that is fucking epic. That was the shit. That is in my trophy room. I don't even have a trophy room, but I'd stick it anywhere. That's. Stick it anywhere, boys.
Oh my god, if somebody had the time to edit this.
I know,
this
right?
Cast.
This is not even.
Edgar Wright. How could I forget Edgar Wright's name?
I'm
but anyway.
Game. All right. Brett Ugly Wiener Dog says the Heavy Minute calendar is out. What 2 months do each host pose for, and what are you doing? Hashtag MTGOFerret has the first 2 months. Wow. Okay, so this is like some like firefighter calendar or something like that, magic calendar. It's like
the world's saddest fire crew.
Yeah, it's a firefighter calendar, and Kevin Middle is lighting everything on fire. Zero safety.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Don't do this, kids. Yeah, do this, motherfuckers. Yeah, burn, bitch, burn. I'm gonna take January, and.
No,
that's
you're
birthday,
not.
Bitch.
Ferret.
No,
he said ferret as
no,
the first 2 months.
Of 2017. So fuck that. We're not even there. 2016, bitch. You can have those in fucking 2017. Fine. I can't take January. Fuck, I don't care.
Wait, what's happening? Like, we're doing a calendar. He's like, do I already gotta get naked?
I'm too drunk to pay attention. Okay, so there's a calendar being made. So let's imagine like the Heaven FU kickstarts a calendar where we all have to pose for 2 months, like a firefighter calendar. So what 2 months are you choosing, and what are you doing on them? Because I know what one of those months is, and it's just a dick pic, which is fine. But what about the other month? And what month?
I'm going May. And I'm, you know, it's probably going to be a dick pic. I'm also going, because that's my birthday. And I'm going to go, like, October, because that's Halloween.
and you discover it in black and orange paint.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's pretty much the same thing, except for, like, all, like, in May it was funny.
So now
in October it's scary.
Oh, look, you can just, like, put a little candy wrapper on it and shit.
No. It's just, in May, it's summer and I'm letting it breathe. And then in October, it's like, oh, well, Halloween, like, be scared. Like, it's the same picture.
Hiding inside.
Like, it's just two different times a year.
Oh, come on, you gotta have some more, like, creative. You gotta really, like, up the creativity level here. You know, you're like one of those guys at those like creative meetings where like you're like, hey, I got this really good idea, boss, and then the boss is like, that's fucking horrible, that's garbage. All right, hold on, I'll think of another one. Right on the spot, let's do this. Yeah. All right, so my dick is on a table, and then I pour gin on it, and I light it on fire. Boom! That's like back to school. That's September.
That's back to school.
Maybe you put like a little like.
That must be the school that TSG is meeting all these kids at.
Oh, the barbs. The barbs are sharp. TSG, what are you doing in this calendar? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around this one.
Wow,
I
the
can't.
Hole has fucking stumped us like I've never seen before. This is like unbelievable.
I'm taking one of my months is March. I'm just saying it.
And what are you doing there? Marching like a German? In die Goose step?
Wow. How did March get associated with Nazi Germany?
March. What do you mean? It's an obvious, like, verbal connection. March, marching Germans. No?
Anytime you hear March, I just think
muffins.
Hitler.
I don't know. October.
Babies.
Yeah. It's like word associations, like those ink blots. What do you see? I see a muffin. What do you see? I see a baby. Are you hungry? For babies.
No, cookies!
Yeah, what are cookies then? I don't even know.
I love cookies!
Wait, so if muffins are baby, are cookies like dogs? what are hot cross buns?
All right. I'm taking March and July.
Okay.
That's so that way, like, it's gonna, you know, 4th of July, I'm gonna have, like, fireworks shooting at my dick. That one's pretty easy.
Strong. It's pretty strong.
Strong, yeah. Gotta go that route, especially if it's like a firefighter one, you know, you gotta be a warning for, you know, dick fireworks starting fires and whatnot. And,
hot,
you know.
Hot stuff coming through.
Hot stuff!
We're gonna have that really cheesy, like, character handwritten script in, like, neon pink and blue, you know? Oh, yeah. I'm loving this calendar. We should put this together. Alright, TSG, what are you doing?
I guess I've got November and September, because there's better winter months I can get, probably the better for my look.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure where to go from there.
Okay, I would obviously, for one of them, you have to be in full NHL garb. That's fine. I would imagine one is NHL, one is NBA. NBA. NBL. Could you imagine TSG in, like, full-on NBA shorts and a beater? Oh, that'd be awesome. Heavy meta.
For you, Maddie, I'll do it for the calendar.
This calendar has got to sell. For me, I'll take, like, whatever winter month no one wants, and I'll be, like, standing on, like, a frozen pond with, like, a beaver in one hand and a baby in another. It'd be epic!
With some muffins in the background.
Yeah, just a steaming fucking hot cup of Tim Hortons in my hand. Oh, be awesome. I don't know if this would sell at all. I have a feeling it wouldn't. But hey, you know what? If you guys want it, that's the famous line from Wizards. If you guys want it, we'll take it back to the office.
Guys want it!
Alright, oh, here's a good one. Okay, Wizards of the Coast commissions you as a cosplayer. Who do you portray and what do you do at the convention hall? I don't know why it says hashtag free circumcisions.
I mean, come on now. That makes just as much sense as seeing babies as muffins.
I don't know. There's the far, far beyond that question. Geez.
Yeah, I mean, free? I'm clearly charging.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that shit is on point, man. Geez, I don't know. I think I wouldn't go as Jace, that's for sure. Oh, dude, you know what I gotta go as? Garrick. But not as normal Garrick, retarded Garrick from Summer of a Movie. Oh my god, I made a beast! I wanna play that. And I give free steaming piles of bee soap. Look, Chase, I made a beast. That was the funniest. Just, you know, I could just like, they're like, hey man, can we get a picture? Like, summer movie. Can you just see like, Christine Sprankle is like, hey, this is my gig, I get paid, you can't fuck this up, you have to act legit, and I'm like, full on like, Corky, right? It's like, hey, who are you?
Wasn't that the same episode with hypodermic people?
Oh, dude, you know what? Let's just cut in that whole episode in here. Way better episode. That's all I'm saying. Just this is dramatic fail right here. This is not good. But I would absolutely go as retarded gear because that's just awesome. What are you going as, Kevy?
I'm not sure. I'm doing something.
What? Why is he yelling?
What do you mean, why is he not yelling? That's his normal voice.
Yeah, that's usually what I do.
He's gonna go as gonorrhea.
I haven't figured this out yet.
You know what you should go as? The Dave Chappelle herpes rap. You should go as the crabs, both you and TSG. Crab, crab, crabs, right? But, but then we sell it as these are new planeswalkers. No. David goes as like,
catch them while you can. Yeah.
They're twins. Yeah.
David goes like the giant, like herpes-ridden penis. You know, like
so aggressive. Wow.
Since free circumcisions, right? I would assume like he could squeeze pus juices out of everyone.
Oh God!
God.
He's still talking. It's a little confusing.
Oh. All right. Well, you don't have to talk if you're a penis. It's up to you. it's just one of the.
Sorry. It just reminds me of the old Lewis Black has this great skit about how people that are so stupid to believe all those emails they get about taking pills to get a bigger dick. And he's like, the only people that believe those emails are the same people that are trying to feed the pills to their penis. Like, I just can't fit it in. His mouth's so small.
Wait, no, those don't work? Fuck, man. What was it? 15-inch penis nipples. Okay. Where? I got an email about that. I was like, whoa, that is, you roll a dice to get that shit? That is fucking wrong. Here we're looking. Okay. Whatever happened to Kevin Metal's tropical island he found in his old box of cards? That's an old episode. You know, you should know that.
Volcanic Island. I posted that on Twitter.
He basically like just gave it away.
That turned into an amazing set of fucking unglued dual lands for my fucking, cube from Proxima. Ah,
boom.
So I turned that shit into that shit. Yeah, and then like it turned into two sets of that so that David has one and I have one.
Hmm. I like it.
So it is now in Proxima's possession.
All right, well, here's a question that should lift the spirits of one of the SVU. Bruce says, if you had to raise the spirits, that's the worst segue in the world. Just a tip, don't ever like read the beginning of the question and use that as a segue. But moving on. If you had to raise the spirits of one Heavy Meta SVU member by giving them a shout out, who would it be? Wow. That's a good one.
Raise the spirits of an SVU member by giving them a shout out. You know who I'm going to give mine to? Fucking Ginger Italian.
Oh, good one.
Our old fucking buddy. You know what? That guy, like, I don't know that he needs his spirits raised, but I know he's gone through some shit in the past, and he's had some issues, and we love him. He's one of those original motherfuckers that's got a tattoo on his leg. He's the first guy to get a fucking Heavy Meta tattoo. If I just had to randomly give a shout-out to raise somebody's spirits, it's fucking Ginger Italian. I don't even know if he still listens to us. I hope he does, but love you, man.
Oh, there. I don't. My little Twitter I got is showing four new posts. I don't think I'm going to click on any of that shit. That's this subject. A lot of times when this cast is approaching midnight for me, that's a danger area. You don't go near that notification. But I'm gonna play smart until my conscience gets better of me. Set the cat to the bowl of milk.
Set the cat to the bowl of milk.
Oh fuck! I give up. I don't even think that would have been funny, except for the way in which you said it.
You sound bad. You just said. And they just had the most fucked up inner monologue.
That is the voice.
How
loud?
The voice that fucking, oh god, what's this?
The Jell-O Pudding Pops rapist. What?
Oh man, sometimes that milk just looks so good.
Maddie just had the most.
Wait, that made the cast. I swear that wasn't on the mic.
I promise you, there's a shrunken head.
Now I know. Now I know. See, you should have played cool. You should have played cool, man.
It's not my penis. It's a shrunken head.
That is not milk. That is ejaculate. I just don't want to go anywhere, dude.
Oh man, someone has to end this.
Send the cat through the bowl of milk.
That's the stupidest thing I have ever said on this cast in the eternity of this show. I said things that are like, I wish I could edit out. That just didn't even make any fucking sense. That's horrible. I am crying.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
It could be a Dave Chappelle song. I'm just so right there, man. Get tongue out of my milk, bitch!
Oh my god.
Oh well, hey, if I had to give a shout out, I don't even know what I would do with it because I would give it out. You know, I would give it out to Chris Combs because that guy's gas right there. I don't even know. The bowl of milk thing is just like, all right, now I gotta click it. Cause what the fuck? What is in there? I gotta look. Oh, fuck it out. What the fuck? That is not the fucking ball of hair.
No, I told you there's a shrunken head.
Disgusting. You know what? That's like Beetlejuice, dude. You should have that looked at.
All right, no.
That's wrong.
I led off with a picture of my penis, but then the other one was just...
Oh, there's two? I thought that was your arm. I thought that was like a burn ward. I'm like, close-up pictures of a burn ward or something out of focus. Oh, God. And you wrote maypole? What is that?
Yeah.
You know if I see maple and shit.
That's just maple. Someone,
they sound like a Chinese guy trying to say maple. Maple?
Oh.
Like a cat.
Send the Asian cat.
That's how you know the cast is officially over.
Send the cat to the bowl of milk. Oh my god, Tristan. What the fuck?
Tristan, we forgot. Were you done?
Yeah, were you done?
I'm good. I'm trying not to look at Twitter.
Oh my god. Send the cat to the bowl of milk. What?
No, but I was like, okay, you guys get it, okay, there's a maypole, and maypole is a thing, but I have a shrunk pen, it's a family heirloom. The shrunk, I don't think it's not real, but, like, this is just, I added on to the October version of my calendar picture, because... That's a shrunk head.
You know, I think, how do people know that it's Wednesday night on the internet? There's some pictures of Kevin DeWitt. I mean, people really don't know when. I will get together there. You know we'll have a good time, man.
It came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. And we're gonna have a good time there.
Oh my God. Is there time for one more question?
Just still going? Get the fuck out of time.
Oh my God, we're so, look, dude. Well, let's fucking, give our boy Spivey. I could do a little pre-show,
I already did mine.
No, that's not good. apparently what he wants for his birthday wish is we have to each tell him happy birthday, in a famous actor. We have to do an impression. So, I kinda know where me and David are gonna end up on this. Kevin Metal is just gonna say that he's an actor and do his own voice. But I don't know where TSG's gonna go. That'll be the exciting one.
I don't know either.
Well, you got three accents to think
of. Who do I sound like? I don't know.
Well, that's the point, dude. You can't just do yourself.
Change your voice.
Yeah.
No, like, who am I?
He does that all the time.
I mean, I guess I could try to do, like, Will Ferrell trying to do Harry Carey. That's always funny.
Oh, my God. I can.
I don't even know what that is, but I want to hear it.
If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I know I would.
Okay, so.
If the moon was made of ribs, would you eat it?
Would you eat it? I know I would. Then I'd wash it down with a knife.
Cool Budweiser.
That's why they call me Whiskers. Hairy, like a cat. If you had the choice to be the top scientist in your field or have mad cow disease, what would you choose?
Okay, I'm gonna just... Huh?
No.
Okay, can I just let you
know? What would you choose?
So, okay, listen. Just let me put a point here.
God.
I just want to put a point. Fuck the show. Let's just pretend we're doing a round table where David is running the round table as that guy.
And pretty much,
and then we have to interact with that voice as if we were real celebrities.
Oh, God.
Hey, Gabby, if you had the choice of having your dick ring ripped out or drink a cool beer, what would you do?
Well, I don't know. I'll just think about it for quite a long time, and then I probably come to the wrong decision in the world.
I thought we had the rock star on tonight, but apparently we had the South Park character. Who was that? I don't know.
This is Millrod, man. This is South Park. What's wrong with you?
And this is why the cast goes 3 hours.
I
want the prison.
I am from Southern America.
I got a clown tattoo. It's tough.
It's tough. Check it out.
Apparently, there is a reader email about some guy who plays a shitty game, Hearthstone, or something like this. He says it is birthday. I say, I don't give a fuck about you, and you turning 30. But
why are you playing Hearthstone? Why don't you just play checkers like normal people, man?
Happy birthday, you motherfucker. We are wasting our time for you.
Yeah. We'll just all tell them happy birthday. No, it's to be way past that. I was just going to make some. I'm out of jokes. I got nothing.
Oh, my God. We just started the cast and he's
out
already
of jokes,
gassed.
He doesn't have any jokes.
Mine was me saying happy birthday to Spivey as Morgan Freeman. I don't know if you guys got that or not. I don't know if that was a good enough impression.
That was really good. You should keep taking those classes. It's definitely paying off.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are those fucking Chinese counterfeit classes I keep taking.
Oh my goodness. All right, gentlemen, we've got a show. Let's kick it off. Mr. Metal?
What is up, you fucking savages? I'm Kevin Metal!
Since when do you
You're
ever...
You're stepping on the rock star.
Since when? Yeah, but he never holds the note that long. Oh my god, I'm fucking so rusty.
Right. I fucking do what I want! I'm the fucking talent! Faster! Faster!
Alright, let's do it again.